The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President George W. Bush delivers a primetime speech in Iraq tonight, outlining plans for handing over power to Iraqis next month, according to spokesman Scott McClellan. APM Easton speech from the Army War College in Pennsylvania will present clear military, political, and diplomatic steps Bush will take to empower a caretaker Iraqi government. McClellan acknowledges events in Iraq are entering a critical stage, but he says Bush wants Americans to know he's got a clear strategy for moving forward. Speech is the first of a half dozen addresses on Iraq that Bush plans before the June 30th transfer of sovereignty. Storm of controversy over abuse at U.S.-run prisons in Iraq and Afghanistan largely has escaped the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, where terrorist suspects are held. That soon may change, a senior naval admiral who briefly visited Guantanamo Bay in early May at Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's request has recommended a more in-depth look at the prisoners' treatment. He said conditions there are good now, but may have been different earlier. Also, depending on his facing allegations by former British detainees who say they were abused and videotaped, Senator Patrick Leahy, a Democrat of Vermont, is demanding the Pentagon release any such videos. International Committee of the Red Cross said Friday that a delegation will return later this month for inspection and meetings with prisoners. The Red Cross is the only independent organization allowed access to the approximately 600 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. Kufa Mosque in Iraq Sunday was the scene of a raid by U.S. troops and Iraqi forces in a bid to flush out insurgents who purportedly stored weapons at the site. Reports say as many as 32 fighters loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr were killed in the raid. It was the first military incursion by the U.S. in the Holy City. 9 U.S. soldiers suffered wounds in an attack with al-Sadr militiamen in Baghdad yesterday, and a U.S. Marine was killed in a car bombing in Fallujah. Pentagon is distancing itself from a Washington Post report that a top U.S. general in Iraq was well aware and witnessed some of the abuse at the Abu Ghraib prison. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez is a top U.S. general in Iraq, and the Post says he, along with other military officers, were witnesses to the abuse at the prison. Post quoted military lawyer Captain Robert Shook, who testified in an open hearing almost 2 months ago, that Captain Donald Reese told him that Sanchez and other military officers were among those witnessing the abuse. The Pentagon yesterday flatly denied that report. And the Associated Press reports that over 5,500 Iraqis died violently in just Baghdad and 3 other provinces alone in the first 12 months of the U.S. occupation of Iraq. According to the latest figures, the death toll from both criminal and political violence ran dramatically higher than violent deaths before the war. News agency says there are no definitive figures on the death toll from places like Fallujah and Najaf. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
All right, who's got a wart? Kids? You? Treat it using the same method doctors use without going to the doctor. Introducing Wartner, the first over-the-counter way to freeze common warts. Wartner freezes warts in one 20-second treatment. Most warts will be gone in 2 weeks or less. Wartner can be found at Walgreens and other food, drug, and discount stores, and is FDA-approved for everyone age 4 and up. Wartner, spelled Wart, N-E-R. The fastest, most effective way to get rid of warts.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Unfiltered. The government has just taken a big duty on Sesame Street and paid no attention to the Sesame Street neighborhood. Besides Big Bird, the most prominent resident is Oscar, a homeless guy who lives in a garbage can. And we think it's adorable that he just lives in the garbage can for 30 years and that that's some sort of social progress within a community. I don't think so. Cookie Monster is still a hopeless addict. Bert and Ernie live together yet can't get married. They have a love that they cannot speak.
Unfiltered on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, the president's Palm Pilot includes a major speech, and Barbara Streisand will tell us all what to do today. And today's, how many times can you say today in this copy, John? My producer, Jonathan Larson, has 15 todays in our introductory statement, or 20. I can't. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here in the studio in the glorious Empire State Building atop.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're two blocks from there.
We're close enough, Riley.
We can see out of the window.
I can see it from our window, so I just say I'm in it. Why not? We're at the top of the Empire State Building where it's cloudy in New York. It's hard to see. I was away. I went to, I took a ride. I don't have my car here. I have my car in Los Angeles. And I rented a car. I had to go up to the Catskills to do a show. Not like one of those.
Ooh.
It wasn't one of the resorts or anything. It was just weird. I didn't even want to go into the show. The show was a weird thing. But it was beautiful to take a ride upstate, to drive through the country. I filled up the car. It only cost me $900 to fill up a car. It's cheaper to fly than to drive 2 hours. Are you talking to me, Jonathan? Because I can't hear you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there you go. What else did I do? I listened to Bob Dylan's CD. That guy, man, like in the 60s, why don't we have guys like that now? Like this audience, it was like, I can't remember, I don't know, it's the brand new bootleg album. It was 1964 or 65. I don't even know. I'm going to go ahead and say I don't even know. And he's playing for this audience that loved him so much. Mm-hmm. That, like, it made me cry almost. Like, you know, he would just go off book for a minute and go, well, that's a little out of tune. And they'd be like, oh, my God, he said something that wasn't, he wasn't prepared. We love him so much. It was mind-blowing, man. You know when you listen to a live album and it's so, like, you hear the audience and it's so, they're so excited that you kind of swell up right in your car?
Oh, yeah. There's
maybe you have to pull over and weep?
Well, I don't know about that. But the jazz albums, there's Thelonious Monk at the 5 spot is like that. You can hear the glass tinkling in the background. You hear people, you know, actual conversations going on in the background.
How does that one tune that he does start, Simpatico or what is it? Man. I listen to, like, I got
Misterioso?
Real, yeah, how does that start?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Everything starts like that.
And then, like, the snare comes in. Like, I was in a real Monk thing, you know, because when I saw that Straight No Chase, the documentary. Where any dude that, like, you know, it's like him and Sun Ra. You know, if they're not wearing the right hat, it ain't going to work out. I love people that invest that much superstitious power into, like, he had a little teapot that he had to have on his. I completely identify with that, because I was going through a period in my life where if I didn't wear a skull ring on a certain finger, there was no way it was going to be okay for me.
I think you just were close to crying because it cost you 5 weeks' pay to fill up your car with gas.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it, but also, like, I just, like, But I'm so out of the loop musically. I was on AOL and I watched some of that Matchbox 20 stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who they are. You know, I don't listen to them.
Do you care who they are?
Well, you know, I went and watched because the kids like them. And, you know, they're a pretty efficient rock band. You know, they do their job. They sound good. They got a good build to it. It sounds a little familiar. The guy's a pretty good singer. But the power of music is so awesome. Like, you know, as a comic, you know, no one's going to, like, you know, buy T-shirts of me. You know,
I don't know. You seem to have one on. You're wearing one.
I'm wearing a Dylan T-shirt.
Oh, I thought that was you.
But, you know, music moves. Music's like magic. It's like a spell. It's like a mystical formula to have notes. Like, when you just talk, you know, people are moved and whatever, but you're still just a guy. You know, music is like ethereal.
Transcendent.
It is. It's unbelievable. And, like, right now, I'm thinking about making that my second career.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you actually do air guitar and play the chords. So.
I play guitar, you know, but, you know, I'm a bedroom guitar player. I've sat in with the best in my bedroom.
I just want you to know one thing, though.
Yeah.
If you get a T-shirt made with your picture on it, I'll buy it. So you have at least one sale.
Riley, man, that makes me feel... I'm going to come in tomorrow with a couple of Marc Maron T-shirts, and we're going to sit here and wear them.
All right.
He's going out now to get one of those fabric pens and then spend all night ripping a photograph onto a plain white T-shirt.
Yeah. AirAmericaRadio.com has that much more.
Did you hear that noise?
That was the beginning of Marc Maron's guitar career.
Mysterioso.
Yeah, do that again.
It's a little jazz piece I'm working on. I'm improvising with the springs on the mic boom.
That really was transcendent, Mark. It's a fantastic debut.
Yeah, fill us in on the end of the world, Riley.
Well, the end of the world may come as early as this evening when George W. Bush goes before the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Good place for a lecture. You think they'll like him there?
It's not hype to say that much is at stake. I don't know if they're going to like him or not. His mission is to calm fears about the rising violence in Iraq, the prisoner abuse scandal, and the June 30th date to hand over power to an interim government. Yet despite the obvious implications for his presidency, Bush will not be outlining a complete plan for post-June 30th Iraq.
He won't be outlining it because he doesn't have it.
I know. I was trying to be charitable, okay? I was trying to be nice.
He's not going to outline a complete plan. There's going to be guys working on notebooks as he's talking. Here, give him this.
They've probably been working all weekend. I mean, I would hope so.
No, he hasn't. Other people.
Yeah, that's right, because he was biking.
He fell off his bike.
Busted his lip.
To create a line of BS that is like going to be even, you know, barely seem effective is going to take some masterful writers.
Well, tonight's speech is reportedly one of several that are going to roll out Iraq's transition to democracy. Some in Congress think that the president needs to be quite specific, quite comprehensive, and maybe look to increase the number of troops in Iraq, something that nobody knows whether he's going to say or not. I don't think – my guess is he's not. You know, I think he still listens to Rumsfeld enough to think that, you know, what they have is good enough. Plus, I don't know where they're going to find him.
Right, exactly. I think he would if he felt he could get
him. If he could get him, yeah. You know, it's interesting. General Eric Shinseki once said that how many people? I think he said 300,000,
and he was the guy who was basically, you know, they got rid of him because he openly contradicted before the war the lean, mean fighting machine approach of Donald Rumsfeld. They messed up his career.
Yeah. Now, you know, we just got handed a bulletin here.
Yeah.
And what's troubling about it is it looks almost exactly like another bulletin we got handed about 3 weeks ago. There's been an explosion in central Baghdad, smoke rising from a burning car near an entrance to the U.S.-led coalition headquarters. This is the Green Zone thing again.
The same place.
Izzedine Salim was killed about a week or so ago.
Blocks away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear whether there are any casualties. An AP photographer, that's Associated Press, said the burning car was near a main entrance to the coalition compound about 100 yards from the Baghdad Convention Center where Jeremy Sivits copped a plea the other day.
And it's clear from this report, that they're definitely ready to govern their own country.
Well, I don't know who's ready to govern what. George W. Bush, however, is not the only one that is making a presentation on behalf of the United States today.
Mm-hmm.
Hours before Bush speaks to the nation, the U.S. is going to be laying out its U.N. resolution on issues surrounding that transfer of power.
Is that called Operation Clean Up the Mess?
Yeah. Operation We Want You.
U.N. Resolution number Clean Up the Mess. Can we please get some countries with some vacuums and tractors and stuff that are willing to help out a little bit?
Yeah. Well, the Security Council is reportedly going to discuss the draft resolution behind closed doors later this morning. I don't know how many times people are going to say, I told you so. I told you this mess was going to happen.
So what's going to happen? They're going to wait for Bush to lay down his sort of vague. I would be hilarious if he just got up on there on stage tonight and said, you know, we're going to wing it. You know, what the hell? But they're going to wait for him to lay down whatever sort of strange, vague plan he has before they can actually sell it to other countries to put this resolution together. How's that going to work?
Ironically, it's the other way around. They're taking this thing to the UN first, and then Bush is speaking later on this evening. Now, the Security Council, I'm sure, is not going to make a decision right off the top. Maybe they're going to wait and hear Bush and then decide whether or not they're going to back this particular resolution, or they may end up altering it as they discuss it among themselves.
So maybe they're seeing who they can get on board so Bush can go up with a little juice. Like, you know, we've got a couple of countries that are willing to help out, that kind of thing.
Well, here's one of the major problems.
Mm-hmm.
Both France and Germany want the resolution to include a firm date for withdrawal of coalition troops, something that the U.S. has studiously avoided up until now. Now, of course, last week, I think it was, or the week before, a U.S. official maintained that, we'll leave if they ask us to go.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's the fallback position for them. But I don't think that's going to be good enough for the French and the Germans.
No, but I think it is smart that basically people say that whatever their plan is, it just cannot be that the U.S. is left solely in charge of anything.
No.
Well, clearly this whole date is just a political thing anyways. It was set up to be a political thing so he could pull out in time for people to think he was some sort of hero. And the whole thing's backfiring in his face. Is that true? I mean, he could change the date, but that would make, you know, his numbers sag even more. Right. Not even just wishy-washy. It would, on some level, it would be the practical thing to do, to take responsibility for the mess he's created. And
we're talking about a politician.
But this is a guy who's going to get on stage in front of people and actually just make up stuff, you know, to present this symbolic pull out that means nothing. The only people he might pull out is the news media.
let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Let's say for the sake of argument that he goes out tonight and he's extremely well prepared, and the presentation that they give, the draft resolution they give to the Security Council, is a great draft resolution, at least in terms of structure and that sort of thing. The problem then becomes, why would anybody, given America's conduct of the war up until now, all right,
yeah,
which has been kind of sort of messed up, why would anybody believe that whatever plan he puts forward is workable?
Because I think if they feel if they have a big enough input and there's a mixture of kind of UN and Iraqi and kind of US, kind of UK involvement and any other countries who want to come on board, is that it's the only way to actually help the Iraqi people. I think that it's a kind of compassion wins over contempt for the Bush administration.
But see, my question is, how is he selling it to the American people? Because that's what he's planning on doing tonight. And the American people don't seem to really care all that much about the United Nations or about the other countries involved. Just from an American perspective, why would anybody believe the guy?
Well, don't you think at this point people do care about the number of Americans who are killed? They care about how America looks over the Abu Ghraib prisons scandal and abuse, and that, you know, all around the country there's increasing signs from members of the military whose family members are, you know, in harm's way, who are being killed, who are not coming home, reservists who are kind of under threat of being sent over there when they don't want to go. Many of whom, frankly, actually, there's a very interesting story this weekend, don't even have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if they feel that that's the way out, where America can preserve some sort of dignity and people are safe and this thing can be wrapped up faster, they don't pay much attention to the UN, but in the end they'll go, this is good. Whatever it takes, let's just do it.
But why would they buy it?
Yeah, because they're not going to take out troops. I mean, there's no way. They're not going to take out any troops. So if what you're saying is, if the primary concern is whether or not Americans will still be in harm's way, that's not even an issue. That's going to be definite.
At least for another year. I just don't understand why people would buy the Bush administration, given the run-up to this war, the conduct of the aftermath, why anybody would buy that he's suddenly got a plan that's going to work if nothing else has worked until now.
Right. Still ahead, we've got the president's Palm Pilot and the liberal agenda and all kinds of fun and troubling things here on Air America Radio.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food.
The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation, which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Good morning, 21 past the hour. Mark Maron's this morning's edition. I'm here with Mark Reilly and Sue Ellicott discussing the turnover, the June 30th turnover. And here's a few things that have to happen. You know, we're going to get back to what, you know, there was a rebuttal that Sue didn't get to get out to a discussion we were having earlier that we're going to get to here in a minute. But from the Center for American Progress, they listed 22 things here that have to happen in the next 37 days in order for the Bush administration to actually turn over power to anybody. The first one is come up with a plan for Iraqi governance. That would be important to put that into place before.
Be nice.
Yeah. Here's the second one. Name the names of those who will be taking charge.
Oh, that's no, you don't.
Directly connected to the governance issue. Secure new UN Security Council resolution, which they're trying to do today,
yes, today.
And tomorrow. Develop agreement for U.S. military presence, which they're going to talk about.
That may take a couple of hours.
That might take a couple of hours, but basically it's going to be, well, we got to leave everyone who's there, and we might need more.
Mm-hmm.
Disarm militias. Now, that could take a while.
2007.
Yeah. Now, we'll go over.
Especially, I don't know if you saw the weekend, there was a poll saying that 57% of Iraqis support Muqtada al-Assad.
Yeah, and there's
a majority. Now we have majority support for the most radical cleric insurgent that we have in Iraq.
And there's also a lot of other factions involved in the insurgency that aren't necessarily connected to him. You know, that we'll be able to talk about with our guest coming up, James Galbraith, with the Salon piece of the day, has written about, or not in James Galbraith, I'm talking in
Patrick Graham
in the next hour.
He's a journalist, right, who's working with the Iraqi resistance.
He works with the resistance, part of the resistance, but it's a very multifaceted, multi-denominational bunch. You know, it's a real mistake to just lump them all together. He'll be on in the 8 o'clock hour, so if you've got nothing to do for the next 2.5 hours.
No, whatever you've got to do, cancel it and stick around.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, yeah. But don't go to work. You know what I mean? Maybe, or stream us at work, because it's going to be a great guest. He's going to be in the studio, and he actually spent time with the enemy.
Don't shower unless you have one of those radio, one of those, you know, waterproof radio shower things.
Yeah, yeah, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So what were we saying now before we were interrupted about the...
You haven't finished the list, you know.
We're going to go back to it. Okay. I'm going to sort of, like, you know, I'm just going to do a few at a time of the list.
We're just pausing for effect on disarm militias, just to get it out there. What an insurmountable task lies ahead between now and June 30th. No, I was just saying before that they have no choice but to go to the UN at this point. I think, you know, Mark Riley...
Oh, no, I agree with you.
I thought you were saying that, you know, how could this possibly work? And I don't think that Bush is coming up with a kind of plausible... is likely to come up with a foolproof, plausible plan, but I sort of feel they have... He feels he has to get some sort of work in progress out there, and they have to go to the UN because no one else is going to buy kind of any kind of long-term involvement of the United States and the UK, frankly, US-UK involvement in Iraq, unless there is some sort of backing from the UN at this point. Because even, you know, some Republicans are saying he should have gone to the UN before. I mean, this is more than a year late.
But so the UN sort of got him by the cojones right now, in a way.
The Hondurans are gone.
Yeah.
Dominicans are gone.
Right.
The Poles are leaving.
The Spanish
are gone.
Yeah.
Who's left? I mean, there may be three or four Bulgarians.
Well, those were the guys who were on board that came on board for the war itself. But now, if there's going to be a turnover and there's going to be a lot of restructuring involved, I mean, this was something he should have had the relationship with the UN from the beginning, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. Right. So now he's going to be is he begging? I mean, is that what's going on on some level?
Does come immediately.
Yeah, just
got
to say cap in hand. But listen, the Republican Senator Richard Lugar said over the weekend that you know, he's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And he said that America must prevent terrorism from taking root around the world and that it needs to repair and build alliances to support democracy and increase trade. I mean, he's a Republican. I guess he's not an extreme Republican. He's a fairly moderate Republican.
He's a moderate
right?
Republican.
But on the other hand, he's moderate, but he's the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. When you have him at this point, you know, with the 37 days left before the supposed handover, saying that America has to repair and build alliances, you know that there are rumblings in the Republican Party that, you know, George Bush has not handled the post-Iraq stuff very well.
Oh, yeah, clearly. And it's just like, you know, right now, if it turns into like another Afghanistan situation where they pull out and the place is a mess, clearly this is a symbolic pullout because they're not pulling out the military because the military is going to have to manage, you know, the chaos that's going to ensue. And he's really created what I like to call a terrorist manufacturing plant in terms of just a free-for-all there between people who are going to be jockeying for power within Iraq, just people coming from outside of Iraq to take advantage of all this sort of, you know, chaos and find strength in strengthening their terrorist activities.
Well, you know, the other part is that there's an awful lot of chaos within the U.S. military. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, which we're going to get to later on, you know, in terms of Mark Kimmett saying, there was no wedding when America rocket attack.
Now there's a video.
Yeah, and there's a video. There's a whole question. General Janice Karpinski is saying that Ricardo Sanchez was far more culpable in the prisoner abuse scandal.
Yeah, that he was at the prison, which they denied. Yeah.
He denies it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the military itself is in a little bit of chaos right about
now. Right, and Bush is going to get on TV in front of everyone in the world tomorrow and go, everything's going great.
Oh, yeah.
It's right on schedule.
It's wonderful.
The only thing that makes me feel kind of calm and organized on a Monday morning, you know how you scramble to get ready from Sunday to Monday? They're looking such a mess, I feel, you know what? I'm actually not doing so badly. Despite the pile of papers on my desk.
Here's a couple more of the things that have to happen. After disarm militias, we have arrest Muqtada al-Sadr and dismantle his organization.
2007.
It's going to be done in 37 days, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Train Iraqi defense forces. That'll be done next week, probably. Train Iraqi police forces the week after. And find evidence of WMDs any day now.
You know, it might have been one of your most effective comedy segments. When you hit that find evidence of WMDs, it's, you know, who knew this came out of the Center for American Progress?
Are you saying it's funnier than, like,
I'm
than,
just saying the fact that, you know, the implausibility of that happening makes it read, I mean, the irony dripping out of this list coming from the Center for American Progress, given what we know about the administration in Iraq, is quite amazing.
Create jobs. That should happen soon.
They can't do that here.
Well, no, other than creating jobs for Americans. No more outsourcing mercenary work.
Why not?
Because those days are over, man. They got to create a rocket.
Our $80,000 a year tax-free gigs are going up in smoke over there. Shame. Straight ahead, the presidential palm pilot, the salon.com story of the day, courtesy of James Galbraith. Plus, how down are you with President Bush and the all-important liberal agenda? This is Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Still no word on the source of an explosion in central Baghdad this morning. An Associated Press photographer said smoke rose from a burning car near the entrance of the U.S.-led coalition headquarters. The burning car was near the main entrance of the coalition compound, about 100 yards from the Baghdad Convention Center. Published report indicates that changing developments in the economy and impending transfer of power in Iraq are expected to shift the dynamics of the presidential race just 5 months shy of the election. But some political pundits say the climate is almost tantamount to what President Bush's father faced in 1992. A historian with knowledge of the anti-war movement believes Democrat John Kerry was present throughout a contentious 1971 meeting of activists during an assassination plot on several pro-Vietnam War senators in which that plot was discussed, that is. And the Department of Homeland Security has come up with a novel plan to track visitors to the United States long before they arrive here. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. You want the best paper towel for your money. So Eyewitness News puts some popular brands to the test. Plus at 5, Sidewalk Treasures. Eyewitness News shows you the best ways to find free stuff.
It's all free. What do you want?
Plus at 6, co-workers dying of the same thing. Now an Eyewitness News investigation of an oil company gets action from the state. It all starts with Diana Williams, Jade Baron-Watt, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on EBC 7.
An all-new Oprah. Only one man could kick Trading Spaces host Paige Davis out of her own home. It's Nate.
Well, this is something that I didn't plan for.
The before, the after. Just listen to this.
Oh, my God! I cannot believe that you did this.
A special makeover event.
This is fabulous.
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
The Majority Report.
Presidential prayer, kids. I want to read just what we're supposed to pray for this week.
Okay.
You've probably heard how some of the people in Iraqi prisons have been treated very badly by those troops who are responsible to keep watch over them.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Pray for the president to team up with Mr. Rumsfeld and for both of them to seek justice and know exactly what to do. I think people are praying hard enough.
Yeah.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We are easing into the week on day one of your week, our week, Monday. And just want to say happy birthday to Bob Dylan today. Bob Dylan is 107 years old. Right now, I got my guy he's not. I'll find out exactly how old he is, and I love Bob. I call him the old Jew. My buddy Short always goes to see him. He's seen him like 100 times, and he always calls me up. And he goes, I go, what are you doing this weekend? He goes, I'm going to see the old Jew again.
I'm putting my money on 66.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think he's around there.
Years of age.
I'll find out in a minute. Let's do now. I got my guy in the Oval Office who cleans up and does some handiwork and also hacks into the presidential Palm Pilot every morning. And here's the president's schedule for today, 8 a.m. Wake up, rub swollen shin, stupid bike. 10:05 a.m., bravely fall off a skateboard near the Rose Garden. 10:10 a.m., meet with women's NBA champions, Detroit Shock. Make inappropriate shirts and skins joke. When that fails, point to chin to get sympathy. 11:30 a.m., dismiss Michael Moore's prize at Cannes. Remind everybody of first place cheerleader trophy at Andover. Note, have staffer buy trophy for photo op. 12:30 p.m., work on tonight's speech about handing over power in Iraq. Weed out any words with more than 3 syllables. Don't want to make it any harder than it has to be, you know. 1:15 p.m., reapply Neosporin. Stupid bike. 3:15 p.m., tell the press that Jenna didn't attend her graduation from the University of Texas because she was serving in the Air National Guard at the time. 5 p.m., rehearse speech. Try to establish link between bicycles and weapons of mass destruction. 7 p.m., encourage Americans to forget about this whole Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal thing by going shopping. Come on, resume consumption. 7:30 to 8 p.m., have makeup specialists work on chin. If necessary, fly in Rick Baker.
You have to tell me who he is later. I'm too dumb.
He's a makeup artist.
Oh, okay.
8 p.m., make remarks on Iraq and the war on terror, U.S. Army College, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. When referring to the turnover of power in Iraq, avoid using word deadline. 9:30, lights out. Have Laura kiss your boo-boo, stupid bike. That's a presidential Palm Pilot for this morning. Right now, it's very exciting. Our Salaam.com guest of the day. As bogus as a lot of polling is, a lot of it actually does give us some idea of where the public stands. But despite all the headlines, the presidential polls make... Read properly, Mark. Despite all the headlines the presidential polls make, there's a startling trend in those polls no one has noticed until now. The guy who found it is economist James Galbraith, whose analysis is today's Salon.com story of the day, and who's with us now on the phone from Austin. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, indeed.
That's great. So lots of news now that the president's ratings are dropping fast, but in fact, you say that it's been dropping steadily for 37 months. How so?
Now, this is something you can find just by looking at the... at a graph of the president's approval ratings, and they're brought together by a very good website called PollingReports.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was to take those down and do a little bit of a statistical analysis on them. And essentially, what you find is that they're only 5 months. If you take the average of the 9 polls that they bring together, which gives you they all move in roughly the same direction, so there's some variation. Some are a little high and some are a little low in any given month.
Yeah.
But if you take the average, what you find is that there are only 5 months in which Bush's approval ratings were strongly positive over his entire presidential term.
When was that?
The 2 months following September 11th.
Right.
The 2 months of the Iraq War and the month they captured Saddam. So there's these 3 episodes of major galvanizing foreign policy crises or events, and those were strongly positive.
Right. So are they going down now because of what's going on with the prison stuff in Iraq?
My answer is no. What has happened in almost all the other months is a very stable decline, which works out to about 1.6 percentage points every month.
Right.
And that it just jumps out at you when you look at a graph of the chart. The decline is just... very, very constant. It has a little bit of variation from month to month, but not very much. And so the best prediction for what's going to happen to Bush's approval rating any given 1 month from now is that it'll be 1.6 percentage points lower than it was before.
So, and you're saying that it's not necessarily relative to, you know, any events in the news. It's just maybe relative to people seeing through his BS.
Well, that would be consistent with the evidence, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nicely put.
That there's a simple hypothesis would be that people make up their minds at different rates. Some people come to a judgment quite quickly. Others take longer. but that they are all in some sense gravitating toward the same judgment, which isn't a terribly good one from his point of view.
So in terms of, like, let's say the speech tonight, these things don't really have a long-term impact on this evidence.
There's no evidence that anything he said has had any positive effect on his approval rating at any time in his presidency.
That's great news.
Yeah, or for that matter, that the $70 million or whatever it was that they spent on advertising had any significant...
You're renewing my faith in the human ability to perceive.
It's really a question. What's interesting that's happening now is something we haven't seen yet in his presidency. I did this analysis first and published it at the end of January, early
mm-hmm.
February.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we'd never seen an average approval rating across these nine polls of less than about 50%.
Wow.
So what had happened, of course, was that on September 11th, his ratings went up by 35, 36 points, and the decline that followed was constant, but it was all in what you might call blue territory. It was all people who had probably not voted for him, but had come along and rallied in the national crisis, and
mm-hmm.
similarly after in the moment of the Iraq War. So you didn't know what was going to happen when the ratings fell below 50%, and you started, or let's say 48%, when you started getting into people who had probably voted for Bush, and you wondered, well, is there bedrock, is there a hardwood floor under this approval rating, and are we going to flatten out at 48%? And we now have four more months of data, which is why I redid the analysis and put up an update on the Salon.com website. What we find is that it's still declining. It's still declining at approximately the same rate.
Did you go, yes, when you saw that? Yes.
Well, I'm just analyzing this, so I've kept my feelings to myself.
So, James Galbraith, you've used your skills as an economist to crunch the polls on President Bush's approval ratings, and from what you've just said, it seems to me that the best hope that President Bush has of boosting these poll ratings is that they do capture Saddam Hussein or al-Zarqawi or one of the Iraqi insurgents.
Yeah, Freudian slip, they already got Saddam.
Oh, Saddam, I'm sorry. Osama bin Laden,
they're looking for. Yeah,
I'm just so confused that the numbers still out there they haven't captured.
And the other point was that if Osama's, unless Osama's worth a lot more than Saddam, which he probably after 2 years isn't in terms of approval ratings, they have to capture him pretty late in the game. I mean, capturing him in July will if it's worth 5 or 6 points on his overall approval rating, which is what Saddam was worth, then he'll lose that by November. So it really has to be October before, unless, as I say, Saddam is worth a lot more. But there's no real reason to think that he would. I mean, excuse me, now I'm making a mistake. Unless Osama's worth a lot more.
So
in which case, of course, he could be done earlier.
But given that the impact is kind of very short-lived after the events, what cause does President Bush really have up his sleeve to boost the poll ratings?
Well, there's not much. I mean, there's obviously another major foreign crisis, and if they were in position to follow the neocon pipe dream and go after Syria or Iran, then you would have people's attention would be distracted by that. But that's obviously not going to happen. It's unclear if we were attacked again how that would play. Obviously, September 11th caused everybody to rally behind the president, but it's not clear that another event of that kind would have the same effect, because people are now expecting to be protected from it.
James Galbraith, thank you so much for joining us. James Galbraith, an economist, joining us from Austin, Texas. You can see his most recent piece on Salon.com. Very interesting stuff. Beautiful. So what do you have to say about this? Did you, have you ever supported President Bush? Did you vote for him? Did you back him after September 11th? Give us a call. We want to hear from you about what you think of his approval ratings and whether or not you jump ship on him. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, sedition@airamericaradio.com. We'll put you on the line right here. Call us, man, woman, everybody.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages.
Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Happy birthday, Bob Dylan. It's Monday. It's Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. We're waiting for your calls, 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We want to know if you voted for Bush. Did you back him after September 11th? Did you back him on the war? Have you bailed on him? And do you feel the same way we do, which is bad about him in general? Carlos in Brooklyn, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man.
Good, man.
It's good to hear that he's going down.
Yeah, right? Isn't that beautiful? The steep decline, and it's got no bearing on what anything he can do. No money can buy him the credibility.
I like what Nancy Pelosi said. She said, the emperor has no clothes. This man is not a leader. He's incompetent. She actually came out with that last week.
Yeah, it's great.
I just wanted to point out three things. That so many mistakes this clown administration makes, they sort of slip by. Did you realize last week they said they found, oops, another disc of prison photographs the Pentagon has?
There's no end to those.
They said they released them all, but oops, now we found another one. Another thing, this guy Chalabi, who we paid like $27 million to,
they
raided his own house.
Yep.
I guess they were looking for the weapons of mass destruction in there.
Yeah, because he said they had them. Maybe he was keeping them.
Yeah, right.
And the other last one, the really great one, a little subtler, the UN, which they goofed on and hated, they only go there in the last instance.
Yeah.
Now they turned the total idea of what Iraqi government's going to come next to this guy Brahimi.
Yeah.
Who said that he would never shake hands with a Jew.
Oh, man.
Nice guy.
Yeah, really. They really pal up with the worst of them, don't they? Thanks a lot, Carlos. Marcia in New Jersey. Marcia, how are you?
Oh, great. Thanks.
Oh, good.
Good morning. What I'm worried about is that they're going to stage some kind of disaster. They keep frightening people constantly.
Yeah, we have that concern, too. I certainly have that concern.
Yeah, because that's when they're in charge, control, and that's when they can look like heroes.
Or they'll let something happen.
Yes, which I'm very, very frightened for, because most people are, every day you see something in the paper, oh, we have to watch this, and it's terrifying.
And the big fear of that, the way that plays out, is that something bad will happen. They'll try and suspend the Constitution and not allow the election. You know, it's definitely a possibility with this group of guys, I think. No doubt about that. I have, there's no names on my board. Mike on three. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Mike. What's going on?
I backed Bush after 9/11 and for the Iraq War, and since then I feel like I've been violated. I liken it to a rape. He came into everybody's lives lying.
Yes.
And now we're paying the price.
Yeah, and it's a great thing that this poll shows is that no matter what he does, people are seeing through his BS. It's good news. What do we got next? We don't know.
We'll get to it. But, the callers bring up some interesting stuff because it's not just the war on Iraq.
where Bush really doesn't seem to be able to get on track poll-wise. I saw some Republican operative on television over the weekend who was saying, well, this president has created a million new jobs since last fall, and I don't know why the American people don't understand or can't feel the fact that all of these new jobs were created. And never mind, there have been 2.3 million gone since he took office, but they're saying there have been a million new ones created, and even with that, his poll numbers don't go. But, of course, he says he doesn't pay any attention to polls.
You know what, but they should pay. That's a ridiculous statement, isn't it? I don't know why the American people don't notice or they don't give us more credit for those jobs. Perhaps they need to just think one stage further and go, well, given that they're not giving us that much credit, there clearly must be something wrong with the jobs that we're giving them.
Right. Let's talk to Gene in Long Island and see what he has to say. Gene, or maybe her. Gene?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to say that, I didn't support Bush for the presidency, nor did I back him in the Iraq war, because, first of all, if the American public did their research on the presidential candidates, they would know that this guy wasn't qualified to be president.
Right, absolutely.
The least qualified person. Also, they never made the case for war.
Right. You're breaking up a little, Gene. We've got to let you go. I think that what he's saying is true, and it's pretty clear that this guy was not elected with any landslide, and he was sort of court-appointed on some level.
Well,
he didn't really
win,
and we know that he's bad. But what Sue was just saying, what was she just saying?
I was just saying that when they criticize American people, the Republican operative that Mark Riley wrote on the television over the weekend was basically, complaining that Americans didn't seem more grateful for the 1 million jobs Bush has created. Well, look, think. Why are they not grateful? Because the jobs aren't good enough. They're not well paid enough. They don't have benefits. They're in the service industry.
Some of them are in the military.
They don't feel secure. Yeah, they may be tax-free, but they're over for contractors in Iraq.
Well, I think what people are really starting to see is that, all this stuff that he says, and you got to be a dummy not to see it, is that he's just saying things that, that have no foundation in reality and don't really have any implications for the people as far as their interests go. And, hopefully they're waking up. We will be back with the liberal agenda and many other things here on Air America Radio.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Zimmerman.
63.
Bob Zimmerman is 63. Robert Zimmerman from Minnesota, 63 years old today. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley. To my left, to my right, Sue Ellicott. This morning's edition on Air America Radio. Here's a couple other things. 37 days and counting. Paul Bremer's Iraq to-do list from the Center for American Progress. We've gone through 10 of them. Maybe I should start at the top again, but I think we should go through the rest of them. Of course, number one was come up with a plan for Iraqi governance. That might happen tonight. Some vague plan. You know, we're going to wing it. We're going to call wing it America. Hand Saddam Hussein and other regime officials over to Iraqi authorities. Finalize plans for January 2005 elections. Establish a U.S. embassy. Get international donors to deliver on Madrid pledges. Reestablish oil production. 37 days and counting to do what it looks like could take how long, Riley? 2007?
2007.
At least 3 years.
And by the way, that by then Bob Dylan will be 66 years old.
I hope Bob Dylan, the Buddha, never dies. You know what I mean? He's only getting better, man. He's like, he's, you know, his new albums are speaking from a very dark and interesting place.
So is George W. Bush's latest pronouncement.
Yeah, yeah. What's he got? Did he have something?
Well, I mean, the thing he's going to do tonight.
I know. Come on, dude. He's just going
to... coming from a very dark and cynical place.
Well, the thing is, no matter what he says, it's only going to be symbolic in the sense that he's going to try and say it with enough confidence to fool people that are either too dim to realize it's impossible or too sort of like completely narrow-minded in their ideological obsession with George Bush to realize that it's just BS.
So there was a report over the weekend that the one of the papers, I think it's the Sunday Times, released a memo.
Yes, it was a memo from the British government. It was a leaked memo saying how disgruntled the British government was with heavy-handed patrolling and force used by the Americans in Iraq. And yeah, I have it somewhere here. I'll dig it out of
that's,
my...
That's from our friends, folks.
Papers.
I love that word. They're disgruntled. You know, they're not angry or outraged.
I was trying to get past the censors. I was trying to stay on air to finish the sentence.
Pissed off.
Right.
Disgruntled. Yeah. They're a bit disgruntled. They've got their...
Yeah, disgruntled for Brits is incredibly furious. But here's my favorite story that came out of the British press over the weekend. It was... maybe it was here too, but the business newspaper reported on Sunday that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has banned mobile phones fitted with digital cameras from U.S. Army installations.
Damn
in
right.
Iraq. I mean, they banned digital cameras, camcorders,
that's
and
right.
cell phones with cameras, without which we wouldn't even know, or that we wouldn't have any idea of how serious the abuses were, torture was.
Goes all the way to the top.
This is the same guy who the other week said that he was more affected or more moved by the pictures than any of the words. He just wants it both ways.
Well, obviously he doesn't like being moved.
He's saying it goes above me. This is Sony, Qualcomm, Nokia. This is above the Pentagon.
Thank goodness for these photographs. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have got this far in the investigations.
There's a fax from the Streisand compound. It's our liberal agenda for today, May 24th. Get your notebooks and pencils. One, go to your local Cineplex and demand that they replace Shrek 2 with Fahrenheit 9/11 and Yentl, the director's cut. Two, eliminate border crossing guards and replace them with casino greeters. Three, petition to make Santa Fe or Sedona the capital of spiritual America. That's a good one. Get your crystals. All right. Four, do away with product testing on animals and give those jobs to inner-city youth who need them. Oh my God. Five, support underprivileged Native Americans by hitting on 16 of them. What are those last two?
even Riley sounded confused. Like, that's a giveaway. That's a confused Riley sound.
Yeah, that's the one. It's like, I didn't process that quite right. Can you reread that?
Yeah, could you? Because,
no, I'm not going to. Because then you'll do the other classic Riley. That's cold.
Yeah.
That's cold.
That's cold, man.
All right, that's our liberal agenda for today. Maybe I should read them before I read them out loud.
Oh, well, no. We like the spontaneity.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, we like looking at which of our two responses we can give you, the or I'm cold.
That's right. There's more to come on Morning's Edition. Bush busts his lip, a conversation with a Wonkette, plus Recovery Corner and the Presidential Daily Briefing. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee? We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right, ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq this morning. Central Baghdad was the scene of an explosion stemming from a burning car. Details remain sketchy this hour, but the car was said to be near the entrance of the coalition compound, about 100 yards from the Baghdad Convention Center. Four people are known dead as a probe into the blast continues. No identities reported yet. President Bush delivers a primetime speech tonight in Iraq at the Army War College in Pennsylvania. According to White House spokesman Scott McClellan, the address will focus on clear military, political, and diplomatic steps the president will take to empower a caretaker Iraqi government. Tonight's 8 p.m. speech will be the first in a dozen of speeches in which the president will drive home his plans for the transfer of power in Iraq. Despite the president's blueprint for a government transfer in Iraq, many still question what's ahead for the strife-torn nation, among them former First Lady and New York's junior U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton.
We're holding to the June 30th deadline, and we're hoping that out of the negotiations that Brahimi is doing on behalf of the UN in conjunction with our government, we'll be able to have some kind of entity with people on July 1st who can begin the business of trying to assume sovereignty in Iraq.
Democrat Hillary Clinton of the U.S. Senate in New York. First to the prisoner abuse problem, now there's word that the U.S. Army has been employing scare tactics to get inactive reservists from the Army Reserve and the National Guard to reenlist. According to the Chicago Tribune, a mother has been quoted as saying her young son was threatened by a recruiter that he could be headed back to Iraq unless he enlists in the Illinois National Guard once again. Mother says the ploy is dishonest and she's in disbelief that the U.S. would, quote, pull this kind of fast trick on kids who have already served. A spokesman for the Army Reserve says there has been a problem with misleading and intimidating retention efforts, and the Reserve is moving quickly to fix the problem. President Bush is trumpeting job growth in key election states. That's the word from his home state of Texas. But whether his message resonates in other parts of the country remains to be seen. Employment has been lagging in the economic recovery, and it seems whenever President Bush has a shot at sharing good news, he seizes upon the opportunity in a bid to convince voters that things are getting better. Bush over the weekend pointed to late figures from the Labor Department that unemployment fell last month in 11 of some 17 battleground states, but the Labor Department figures did not indicate whether consideration was given to those Americans who declined to continue looking for work in the latest numbers. And a published report says the Republican Party will step up efforts to increase the number of blacks in the GOP. The party's leadership is reportedly encouraged by reports that younger blacks are open to becoming Republicans than traditional Democrats. Despite this, it seems having people like Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, Rod Paige, and Alfonso Jackson in the Bush White House have done little to inspire blacks to be involved. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
The Radio Shack Glossary of Electronics. Today's term, the Odyssey.
It's that epic journey people take, searching for electronic accessories. You drive to this store and that, but no luck. And by the end of the day, your behind is imprinted on your car seat.
At Radio Shack, we've got over 7,200 stores, so you're probably within 5 minutes of one right now. And our experts are there to give you easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
This is Bernie Mac, and just reading the Odyssey in school was enough for me.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Randy Rhodes.
Conservatives won't allow gays to marry because they'll cite studies that show that children of gay parents rarely grow up to be very strapping heterosexual men and women who one day put underwear on the heads of prisoners and throw naked bodies on the foreigners into piles and torture people with sexual humiliation. That very rarely happens when you come from a sensitive home.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we've got the Wonkette, who blew the lid off the hottest sex scandal going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Plus, I'll share my dream diary. We'll reveal the contents of today's top secret PDB. We'll have our daily presidential intervention recovery corner. And we just may get a call from William at Chappaqua. Who knows? Who knows? I'm assuming because it's written on this piece of paper that you could probably bank on us getting a call from William from Chappaqua. That's just me. Good morning. It is Monday still. I'm here with Mark Riley. It's already still for me. I mean, you know what I mean? Some people are just waking up. I'm like, it's still Monday. Yep. I'm here with Sue Ellicott as well. We're talking.
Barely Monday.
Is it? No, it's so much Monday. We just got this from someone just sent this. I guess this came off of what the Cause's blog, the Daily Cause blog. And the excuse that President Bush gave for, you know, toppling off his bike
and busting his lip.
And, you know, ripping his face off. And what did Kerry say? He said that, what, the training wheels
came
off?
Training wheels came off, yeah.
Kerry, making a joke.
I know, but then he kind of backpedaled, to excuse the expression, and said that one of his aides said he was off the record. There's some dispute of whether he's on or off the record on that. He doesn't want to look as though he's being mean.
Yeah, but, you know, these guys say things. Yeah, but they say it. You know, they say it. They know it's going to get out. And, you know, it's better than Dick Myers and President Bush using training wheels analogies for Iraq as a country. You remember a few weeks ago, Dick Myers said
it wasn't
says,
that long ago. Last week?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Myers. Last week, Bush.
Yeah, they both referred to it like, well, they've got to learn how to ride on their own. Like, the training wheels are off. It's like, yeah, that's terrific. That's a really great idea. Why don't you infantilize the entire nation like some sort of tough daddy, and make them feel even worse than they already do about Americans. Idiots. Well, anyways, the excuse for his fall on the bike was, he said, I guess, who said this? White House spokesman Trent Duffy said, it's been raining a lot and the topsoil is loose. You know this president. He likes to go all out. Suffice it to say he wasn't whistling show tunes. Now, there...
Wait a minute. Hold it. Show tunes?
Yeah, yeah. Here he's saying that it was raining a lot, which I'm about to prove it's a lie. And secondly, he just wanted to put it out there that this president isn't gay. It's basically what he was saying. He just wanted to, you know, make sure that he took a little shot at all you show tune whistling, you know, gay people. I mean, why didn't he just say, you know, this president isn't a fag? Why didn't you just say that?
You know, I think he couldn't whistle. He's wearing a mouth guard.
Nope.
Did you read that? He was wearing a mouth guard while he was cycling.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
I guess that's when you've had all those years of orthodontistry that your parents say, I've just spent thousands on this. You better wear a mouth guard when you're cycling.
I think that the mouth guard was maybe one of those dust sort of masks. Those masks that come with the helmet, you know. But anyway, so we've got from May 22nd to May 9th, there was literally about a total, May 22nd, this is the rainfall in Crawford. May 22nd, zero. May 21st, zero. May 20th, zero. May 19th, zero. May 18th, zero. May 17th, zero. May 16th, zero. May 15th, zero. May 14th, 0.03 inches. So maybe there's still a little liquid left over from that, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But on May 13th, it did rain 2.79 inches. Oh, so yeah, and that was only, what, a week ago? 16 days ago in Texas.
No,
I'm sure with all that humidity in Crawford, that probably didn't leave the soil. I mean, that's hilarious. There was no excuse. But, you know, I'm not going to rail on the president for falling off his bike. How about railing on him for, you know, just, you know, falling in general? Let's just rail on him because, like, you know, the disaster is really Iraq. That's the disaster.
Well, there's more bad news coming out of Iraq.
Just now?
Well, yeah. The U.S. military now says 4 people were killed after a car blew up near the coalition compound, the so-called Green Zone in central Baghdad. Again, about 100 yards from the entrance to the compound, about 100 yards from the Baghdad Convention Center, in an area that you would think would be relatively secure. I mean, who's going to be online from now on? Who's going to bother getting on that line after Izzedine Salim was killed on that line, and now this bomb explodes, apparently very close to the place?
I guess it's only safe inside. That's a suicide bomber.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Suspected suicide bomber.
Yeah, it might well be.
Now they're going to have a security checkpoint just to get online to get up to the main security checkpoint.
Yeah, it's a real problem for commuters out there.
It's a real problem, I think, for George W. Bush.
I'm sorry.
For Donald. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not.
Sometimes it's wrong to make jokes in the face of tragedy. But it's clear that there's a lot more chaos than they're actually admitting, and that the idea that he's going to come up with some plan tonight is ridiculous.
Well, there's chaos, it seems, on all fronts. Bush is fighting today on two fronts. On the one hand, he's making the speech tonight, Judy Garland, Cher lovers notwithstanding. And
he won't be whistling on any show tunes.
No, he won't be whistling on any show tunes.
This president didn't lighten the loafers.
What does that mean, by the way, that he was cursing when he fell off the bike? Is that what that means?
I the guy was just trying to say he was a bruiser. You know, he was like
he was a manly man.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he was a biker and a manly man, and he fell off the bike because he was trying to do a manly thing.
Because he was going at it, man. He was doing the extreme sports thing that this president does, because he's that kind of president.
Isn't it interesting, though, how he fell off going downhill? I think that's wonderfully symbolic. We should hold on to that image.
I think he pressed the front brake. That's usually when you spill like that.
Tipped over.
Usually you hit that front brake instead of hitting the rear one. When you hit a front brake when you're heading downhill, right over the top.
Yeah, but I'm putting on the, like, I read some of the conspiracy blogs. They think that he fell down on purpose. That's what happens, and that the bike was, you know, that he fell down on purpose just to garner sympathy for when he gives his speech.
That might.
I just made that up.
Might even happen. Who knows?
I made that up.
Well, look, he in addition to making the speech, the United States is making its presentation of a draft resolution in front of the United Nations Security Council. And as a matter of fact, just after this show is over, the Security Council should be meeting in closed session to deal with this resolution. And it's going to be problematic.
I can see that. I mean, doesn't anybody want to help?
Come on.
One country, no one wants to help?
So they're basically asking for money, donations, and money, extra troops.
Yeah, manpower, which I don't think they're going to get. I don't know that there's a single country on planet Earth, much less on the UN Security Council, that's going to say, oh, yeah, okay, fine, we'll send troops.
Well, that's the whole...
How many you need?
Right, that's the whole lie of this transfer of power, because they're not going to take out any American troops, right? They're pretty much going to leave the military presence intact. I mean, what are they going to do? Who are they going to take out? What, Bremer's going to leave? That's it? I mean, he's probably not even going to leave. It's all a big lie.
Well, they could get maybe people who were offered to do support or construction or something that they think immediately benefits restoring kind of life in a decent way to Iraqi people. Nothing that involves any kind of combat.
Heavy duty custodial workers.
Well, tax-free dollars. Tax-free dollars higher than the minimum wage in whatever country they're coming from. But he's speaking tonight in front of the Army War College in Carlisle. And there are some people who have said that the president needs to take, quote, bold steps, like increasing U.S. troop strength, or fast-tracking the date for elections. That's just my own guess. Neither one of those will be in his speech. At the same time, America's friend-turned-enemy, Ahmad Chalabi, was all over the TV chat show.
What an idiot.
Through the weekend.
This guy's all about Chalabi. That's all it's about.
Well, if you were making $340,000 a month and they cut your dollars, what would you say?
But this dude, he's like, I will debate George Tenet on TV because he set me up. It's like, you're not going on television with the head of the CIA. They just raided your house.
Yeah.
I mean, wake up, you dummy.
Well, maybe he'll take a lie detector.
But the guy's like, he's got that weird junkie personality where he's going to do, he's a power junkie, clearly, and he's just jockeying for himself. And, you know, he's just got that thing where he will do anything necessary to get himself into a place of power. And you can see it in his eyes. He's got no character whatsoever. He's a complete weasel, has been from the beginning. And he's, you know, he's also a gambler. And these are the guys, this is the guy that the neocons bet on. How could they have such a crappy, you know, judgment of character? They didn't. They knew exactly what they were dealing with, and they were willing to gamble, too, and now look at the mess we're in.
Do you think Bush is still listening to the neocons? Do you think he's still listening to Wolfowitz and Pearl and the rest of this crew that got him into this mess in the first place? You think he is?
I think he is.
So, again, that comes back to the same question.
What are they telling him?
Like, what are they telling him, and why would he listen, and why would anybody else believe a word that comes out of his mouth as long as these guys are still in government?
Right. Well, if he can't be listening to it, because they're probably saying, would you just keep a low profile, all right? Stay off
Please.
The television.
Right.
We'll pay you back.
Well, you know, Chalabi says essentially that first of all, he's denying the charge that he was a spy for the Iranians. But he did admit that he met on more than one occasion with the Iranians. And the Iranians say the same thing, that they met and that they routinely, I guess, discussed whatever pressing world issues that Iranians
had. Yeah, they just had coffee. Stuff. They talked about Britney Spears.
Yeah,
and, you know.
But there was no spying involved.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to believe that, too.
Yeah, and he's also an embezzler. The guy's completely untrustworthy, you know, and so are the neocons in general. They're all untrustworthy. Can we just get rid of them? Someone make a call. November. Get rid of them, please.
More explosions in downtown Baghdad.
Just now, so it's all synchronized.
More smoke rising from the area of the coalition headquarters, again, near the green zone. This has got to first of all, this has got to be driving the U.S. military people crazy.
What about the speechwriters for tonight?
Exactly. I was just thinking of it, how Bush can go and speak to the United States Army War College or deliver his proposal to the United Nations asking for more money and more troops. Is that they cannot guarantee security whether people are civilians or members of the military.
True. The joke writer's going, we can open with it. Let me just find an angle. All right, still ahead, we've got Recovery Corner. Up next, the Dream Diary and more here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Twenty past the hour, morning sedition. Good morning. It's Monday. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. It is Bob Dylan's birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, as always, every day, I make notes. I take notes in my waking consciousness of my dreams from last night to bring to my therapist on Thursday. And this is last night's dream diary I like to share for those of you who like to listen. All right, so I'm inside the ladies' room, and I can't believe it. I'm excited. There are huge plush sofas in there and chandeliers and waterfalls. There are sheep grazing. So much better than the men's room, really. I had no idea. All right. Then a beautifully dressed woman comes up to me, and I say, lotion? I say this because I realize I'm the attendant. I'm also a woman, and my name tag says Loretta, all right? And my feet hurt. I remember this from the dream. There are all these women crowded in front of the mirror and primping. First, Karen Hughes, who's running a rake through her hair, says, George actually said I'm sorry the other day. I wanted a real Texas cowboy, not some panty waist who starts crying every time there's a little torture. And then Condi Rice, who's also standing, is applying leeches to her face, says, tell me about it. He's always, you know, cut my steak, Condi. Go and meet the press, Condi. Wipe my butt, Condi. Ugh, no more white men. Am I getting a pimple? That's him. Then Ann Coulter, who is filing her fangs, says, Vladimir Putin, there's a real man. Or Stalin. The Russians really know how to run a gulag. Then Catherine Harris, who is lancing giant boils on her forehead, says, have you seen his poll numbers? Disgusting. I might not even help him cheat this time. Then Laura Ingraham, who's rubbing smoking purple goo on her face, says, you know what they say, small numbers, small dinky. And they all laugh this ear-splitting hyena laugh for about 3 days. And then someone says, shh, it's Laura. And they all quiet down when Laura Bush comes in. Laura says, evening, ladies. Something funny? Oh, no. Now they all say, you look beautiful, Laura. Oh, cute shoes. Stuff like that. Typical. I want to say something, but all that comes out is lotion. I woke up and my bed was filled with baby powder and Prince Machiavelli. What is that about? What is that about? So, more explosions in Iraq. Everything's falling apart. Riley, he's going to try and cover tonight.
He's going to try and cover tonight. And apparently, he's getting some help from a source that we all know and love.
Bendar and his magical carpet has come to make the oil prices lower.
He says the Saudis will increase oil output by 28% by June.
That's so he did it. So he's promised that he will cut the prices before the election, but it's not going to be enough, really, is it? Do you understand how this works, Riley? Can you explain it to me? Because I don't get it. It seems to me more oil, okay, less money it will cost. But they say it's not going to make that much of a difference. I don't understand.
Well, what it means is that the prices will stabilize at about $2.50 a gallon by the time Bandar kicks in.
So can you explain to me, because I'm uneducated and probably just incapable of economic theory and that sort of stuff, the way NATO works, not NATO, I mean OPEC.
OPEC.
Is that you got, you know initials. And, you know, you've got all these
I'll
oil.
I'll make it real simple for you.
Okay.
Humvee, bad. Rice, too.
Scooter, good.
Bad.
Scooter, good.
Not Mini for cross-country
Cooper.
Work.
Mini Cooper, good.
Yeah.
Toyota Prius.
Good.
Good. Honda Hybrid.
Good.
Humvee, Lexus. The rest,
Escalade.
Escalade, real bad.
Yeah. All right, so you're saying that, you know, if we, you know, trim our consumption down and start being, you know, reasonable about how much fuel we use.
We're never going to do it.
But, hey, are you kidding? I just saw a TV report. They were at the Toyota lot. The guy's like, I need 300 more Prius.
Oh, yeah. Well, every Toyota lot in America says they need 300 more Prius. The problem is that those Americans that live out in those wide open spaces where you were raised,
yeah,
where people can drive to the sun,
trucks,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
These folks are always going to want the ability to drive big gas-guzzling cars. It's part of the American psyche, like guns.
It is, except that there are some good signs that people are kind of wising up to that, and there are all these Humvees sitting around in dealerships on their front lots, and they're slashing the prices and giving rebates because the demand for them was falling off before the oil prices started to go through the roof,
oh, yeah.
And now it's going to be even worse. I think I'm encouraged by this, and I'm encouraged by, you know, Kerry over the weekend saying that, you know, the U.S. has to cut its dependency on Middle East oil, and he's going to announce a plan or come up. You know, he says he has a plan, actually. I haven't heard what it is. But
solar-powered cars. What do you think?
Yeah.
But it's good. I think he's right on the money here. He says that reducing our dependency on Middle East oil is the challenge for this generation. And I think he's absolutely spot on.
You know what? We don't have the discipline to lessen our dependence on fast-thinking food, much less oil.
I think he wants to initiate a moving sidewalk thing. He's going to replace the interstate system with a moving sidewalk.
Sidewalk. Yes, like they had at the 1939 World's Fair,
exactly.
Where everybody just kind of like rolls wherever they're going.
See how prophetic they were?
It's interesting, right? You mentioned fast food as another scourge, because I saw that great documentary, the video diary of the guy, you know his name, remember?
Morgan
Spurlock.
Yeah. And the oil dependency, the energy dependency, is all tied in with the fast food stuff. The amount of energy it requires to raise cattle and raise the process the food that goes into McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's is partly one of the factors that contributes to the amount of oil that this country
oil
needs.
Oil consumption, yeah. Well, I just know that there's such a thing. There's always a cyclical thing. I remember the oil crisis of the late 1970s. Everybody said, oh, we're going to get smaller cars. We're going to get smarter about spending our money on.
Right.
And it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. It happened for a little while, but then as soon as prices stabilized, as soon as Americans felt comfortable again, we went right back out. Remember, we didn't have Humvees.
I know. It's so weird that happened. It's also, you know what's also weird to me is you remember like a few years ago when trees were in danger and
yeah.
that you were not supposed to use so much paper. Well, I guess that since, you know, computer printers have become popular and everyone has one, that magically there's more trees. You know how much paper we go through? What happened to that crisis? It just seems like it's all relative to the market. The crisis is just to almost stop people from doing things for a while where they retool. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen, I think, with this whole gas and oil thing. People will shelve their Humvees for a little while. Yeah, they'll sit on the lots for a little while, but the minute prices go down, people go out and buy them.
But that's what I mean. It is all pocketbook stuff. I mean, the prices have to kind of stay high. People have to actually be hurting to really make big adjustments.
I hope so.
Or they have to be kind of so morally motivated. And I think there's a certain, you know, kind of, you know, base votership, people who live their lives that way with a very strong social conscience. But for everybody else, we want to recruit, they need to it kind of needs to hurt a little bit.
Bandar promises 75 cents a gallon by Labor Day.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm only kidding.
Riley.
But the weird thing is, like, it's clearly destroying the environment on all levels.
Yeah, you know, it is.
And, you know, it's we're going to have the guy in tomorrow, the director of The Day After. Is that what it's called? The Day After?
The Day After Tomorrow.
The Day After Tomorrow. Yeah.
That's going to be pretty exciting.
Is he coming the day after tomorrow?
Roland Emmerich.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all these tornadoes all over the country where I just think is very sort of devious publicity campaign for the movie.
Wow. is Bandar in the movie?
No, Bandar won't be in the movie. We might have to get a new Bandar.
I'd love to see it taken away by a tornado, as a matter of fact. Bandar's, do they have tornadoes in Saudi Arabia?
Bandar's the guy that's actually, he's one of the guys, when they say they, he's one of the
he's
they.
He's one of they. Yeah.
He's definitely.
We can only be talking about two people, and Bandar's one of them.
Bandar's one of them. Who's the other one? I wonder. Let's see. Who is it?
The mind boggles.
There's like five or six of them, the they.
Yeah. I just hope that sooner or later people get wise to how. And remember that a lot of people in Bush's top echelon are oil men.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheney, all the rest of these oil people, they made their money off of this.
Well, I think that still is what the Iraq War is all about.
God help us. That's what Michael Moore thinks the Iraq War is all about.
Of course.
We'll get to him a little bit later on as well. Up next, we talk live to Anna Marie Cox, a.k.a. The Wonkhead, about the blog that's got all of D.C. talking, plus Recovery Corner, and we may even talk to a former president or two when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Four people are dead following an explosion from a burning car this morning in central Baghdad. The four are said to be foreigners. Details remain sketchy, but the blast was near the entrance to the coalition compound, about 100 yards from the Baghdad Convention Center. Since then, two more explosions have occurred. A rise in corporate profits, a purported boost in the employment rate, and a possible hike in the tax revenues while Iraq is in transition could make for a bitter debate between Democrats and Republicans around election time. Political pundits say it's virtually the same kind of climate that former President George Herbert Walker Bush was in during his losing campaign to then-Governor Bill Clinton in 1992. Army Reserve admits they've been using misleading and intimidating tactics to get those in the inactive list to sign up for duty again. One Chicago parent complained that her son was threatened with a return to Iraq if he failed to reenlist. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Worry is emotional torture. It consumes you and robs you of happiness and peace of mind. Anxiety is worry gone out of control, and you can't help it. It tears at your nerves and rips at your heart. It makes your mind race in circles and keeps you from enjoying the moment. Sometimes people turn to medication or alcohol for relief, but medications can have negative side effects, and some medications, as well as alcohol, can be addictive, causing more problems. Anxiety and the worry that goes with it ruins relationships and careers and tears families apart. And people that love you, they tell you to just stop it, that you're doing it to yourself, but you can't because you don't know how. I can show you how. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me send you a powerful free tape that will provide you with insight and hope. Call 1-800-600-8892, and I'll send you this wonderful free tape. That's 1-800-600-8892.
Look at this
one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The O'Franken Factor.
I didn't want him to run because I thought last time he elected Bush, but, you know, it's his right to run. And it's our right to say, don't vote for him. And it's your right to vote for Kerry. But no one has the right to vote for Bush. Oh, that's wrong. Okay, that's wrong? Okay, I'm getting from the booth that evidently you have the right to vote for Bush.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer. The O'Franken Factor on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We are having fun, aren't we?
Officially, we are.
Happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Sue had brought up Kerry's energy policy. You want to brief them on that, because we didn't really get into it. So we want to hit some of the points.
I thought it was just very brave and on point of him over the weekend. You know, he said that let's ensure that no American soldier has to fight and die because of our dependence on foreign oil. This is the great project for our generation. I mean, that's a big issue. That's a big idea and something absolutely that should be followed through and that I kind of really believe in. I mean, it's very easy to be dismissed as a European saying, you know, Americans should pay more for gas because, hey, we suffer with very highly taxed energy.
Plus, all Europeans say that.
They do, exactly. So it loses any kind of impact. But nevertheless, it's true. But no, people should, there should be a far less reliance on Middle East oil here. But this is part of the energy plan from Kerry, along the lines of making the U.S. a safer, cleaner, and stronger nation. I mean, who really could argue with that? Who doesn't want their country safer, cleaner, and stronger? He wants to create 500,000 new jobs over the next decade and provide assistance to make sure that American industries will lead the new energy economy. And his priorities are reducing oil dependence by 2 million barrels of oil a day, a plan to use hydrogen through the nation by 2020, making our homes, offices, schools, and cities more energy efficient. Now, some local governments do that already. I think in L.A. or in California, you can get some kind of tax credit for building homes and using solar panels. I mean, on a local level, some of these initiatives are happening already. And, you know, basically stop driving your SUVs, folks.
That's too much to ask.
Well, here we go. It's been a while since Washington, D.C. had a good sex scandal. Now those dark days have come to an end. Joining us now to give us a scoop is editor of the blog site Wonkette.com, Anna Marie Cox. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Tell us about this scandal.
Well,
just lay it out.
Okay. It started last week.
Yeah.
It came to light that this young Hill staffer, Senate staffer, had been keeping basically an online sex diary.
Uh-huh.
And she was clearly pretty young because she didn't do a very good job disguising who she was.
Do you know how old she was exactly?
She's 24.
That's okay. That's good. It's not 18, but it's young.
You're right. She supposedly was. She listed her various lovers. There were six, including a coworker in her office, a superior in her office, someone she described as a Bush appointee, chief of staff at a government agency, and another sugar daddy.
So how are you trying to figure out? I mean, I know that.
We know who she is now.
Oh, you know who she is, but what about the chief of staff?
Oh, well, you know, the thing is, like, I mean, she's been telling people, including me, like, she can't believe that people are that interested in this scandal because it's a bunch of nobodies having sex with each other.
Sure.
And
sure.
It's true that, I mean, while it's sort of titillating to say he's a Bush appointee, and I do care who he is a little bit.
Yes, of course you do. But, I mean, come on, it's sex. I mean, it's like, why is porn the biggest industry in the world? Everyone wants to know.
Well, yeah, except that he is like a chief of staff at a government agency. It's not, It's not a Monica situation.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's not going to disrupt the wheels of government if we find out who this guy is and he loses his job.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think people are going to find out because, like I said, well, I think she's actually like a smart girl and a good writer, a smart girl in many ways, not necessarily in this practical way.
So was she selling herself? Is that the deal? I mean,
she describes it as gifts.
Are they gifts that are given to her before the actual event?
Well, before and after, let's say.
Oh, okay.
In anticipation.
That just means she's good at it.
Yes. Yes, I think she would. I think she would say that.
That's her version.
She also. I was talking with her the other night,
uh-huh.
and we went out for a drink on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
And she told me much more than I even probably wanted to know. But and she was saying, I said, like, well, what is it like? How do you get the, you know, because I've never, I wouldn't know how to ask a guy for something in exchange.
Really?
Yeah. it just seems awkward to me, you know? Like, how do you arrange that?
Well, some people believe that it's all sort of barter.
That's true, except that how do you get specifically what you want, right? Dinner and a movie, whatever.
Right.
But what if you, like, need a new dress or, you know, something more specific, a typewriter, I don't know.
That one starts like this. You know, I was shopping the other day and I saw this. That's how that one starts.
Right. Well, she told me.
Mark sounds far too experienced. He's rather scared.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. I'm glad you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she told me that, like, what happens is that... you know, they'll be out on a date, and the guy will say something like, "So, how can I spoil you?"
Oh, he knows what he's expecting.
Yeah. He's been through this before.
Absolutely, we're talking to Anna Marie Cox. The Wonkette is her blog. Yeah,
Anna, why do you believe this woman?
Well, she did get fired. She did, yeah.
When?
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday of last. Oh, okay. So she never came back to work.
No.
And now, does that indicate to you then that at least her employer felt she was guilty of something, and that makes it true? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a little bit. Also, I mean, I know enough about the scandal at this point, and I know her, and I know enough about her that while I think there might be some exaggerations in her diary. As there are, you know, exaggerations and you know, omissions in anyone's diary.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the basic gist of it is true. And, I mean, she has no reason to, I mean, like, she really has no reason to lie at this point. I mean, she's refused to say who these people are, although some people have been already figured out. Like, one of the person in her office, people have pretty much figured out who that is.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that person is still working.
Not for now, yeah.
Now, let me ask you, I mean, I got to wonder if there aren't other staffers who date people in their offices that do some of the same thing she's doing. You say, damn, and she got paid for it?
Well, she says that other people, well, get paid. She says that other people have the same kind of living arrangements as she did. She says that, and that it's very common. Like, one of the quotes on her blog is that, you know, how can anyone survive on $25,000 a year? The offices on the Hill must be filled with dealers and hoes.
How about roommates? But Anna Marie, do you think that there was any kind of point that she was really trying to make, or was she setting herself up as a kind of Candace Bushnell kind of figure and hopes to get some sort of lucrative deal out of this?
I don't think she was setting herself to get up to get some kind of lucrative deal. I think she would have done it for longer than 2 weeks, which and I think she would have figured out a way to keep it going and maybe. I just, the lack of foresight in her blog sort of, to me, says she wasn't really trying to get a book deal, although I think she probably will get one if she wants one.
Absolutely, that's the way it works.
What she told me was that it was a way, like, she'd been emailing all of her friends, like, about her various exploits, and that the blog was kind of just a way to, like, cut down on the number of emails she had to send during the day.
Oh, how charitable.
Is there any evidence that this is, you know, really true?
Besides
her telling you,
her telling me, and the other names sort of being somewhat confirmed.
Yeah.
I don't know. What kind of proof would you want?
Pictures. You got
she
any pictures?
In balance.
Hey, let me ask you another question. I know you do deal with a lot of dirt around DC on your website. You got any dirt on Tucker Carlson? Because I can't stand that little doofus. Come on, give me something. You got anything?
Tucker?
Doesn't he irritate you? Don't you find him annoying?
I kind of like sucker.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, but that's just, see, that's where, that's part of his game.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's not David Brooks or anything. I mean, uh-huh. He's not like, he doesn't try to be cuddly, which I sort of hate about David Brooks.
Tucker Carlson doesn't try to be cuddly? Look at that haircut. What's with the bow tie?
Okay, the bow tie, yeah, that's totally good.
You could make a Tucker Carlson teddy bear and people would buy it.
Exactly. But he doesn't like try to. I mean, the thing. Well, we could have a who is worse, David Brooks or Tucker Carlson. But yeah. I'm not sure that anyone's actually that interested in the degree of evil.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I think Tucker's definitely more evil.
Tucker. I mean, for a conservative.
Yes.
You know, like yeah. we have to say,
mm-hmm.
Is actually like you know you can have a conversation with them. You know?
So that's the big plus of a cute conservative is that they're actually able to carry a conversation that's not completely repellent.
Well, yeah, you know he doesn't you know breathe fire, you know he doesn't have a tail.
Not that we know of.
Not unlike some other people here. You know?
Yeah, thank you for talking to us, Anna Marie Cox, A.K.A. the Wonkette. Go to her blog. Thanks for coming.
All right, thank you.
Okay, talk to you later. So we want to talk to you now. I'm not clear exactly what we want to talk to you about at 866-303-AAR0. How about sex in general? Does the fact that conservatives are having sex humanize them?
How about do you believe this woman?
Yeah, do you believe the Wonkette? Wouldn't you like to? What kind of sexual dirt would you like to hear about some of the evil bastards that are in charge of this country?
Our interns so underpaid in Washington they have to reduce to sexual favors.
866-303-2270. How about just call?
I blew it.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
So
36 past the hour. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sid Ellicott. We're taking your calls, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Seems like the topic is, what kind of sex scandal would you like to see happen to the leaders of this free nation of ours? First, we're going to do the PDB. This is the highly classified daily briefing that comes to the president every day. My guy gets it out of the folder that it comes in up in the Oval Office. Here we go, from the intelligence community. Mr. President, your daughter's intention to tour Europe after graduation, then volunteer to work on your campaign, represents an imminent threat to your parental control. We suggest immediate intervention in the form of grounding, the withholding of funds, or, if necessary, subverting the Constitution. Again. Exposure to bizarre cultures, politics, and customs can only lead to free thought, broadened minds, and ultimately rebellion. Michael Moore's recent victory in France provides a grim example of this. Travel abroad can be a slippery slope, Mr. President, which you made perfectly clear yourself when you bravely refused to leave the U.S. as a young man. Unfortunately, that is just half of the ominous twins issue. Your daughter's reckless intention to pose for a fashion layout for Vogue magazine also raises cause for alarm. Fraternizing with homosexual photographers and bisexual fashion models with eating disorders seems far more Kerry-esque than Bush-like. We suggest you carefully review the enclosed packet titled The Hilton Sisters Paradigm, a Blueprint for Political Destruction. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. That was a good one. Ooh. Let's go to the board here. What do we got? We got Mustafa in New Jersey. How are you, man? Mustafa.
Hi, can you hear me?
I certainly can hear you. What's on your mind?
Great. Well, I was hoping that, you know, Karl Rove would get exposed with farm animals or posing as a 13-year-old girl.
Yes! Or a 13-year-old boy! Anything! Pictures of Karl Rove doing anything bad would be wonderful. Wonderful!
I think that sort of fits his character more than anything else we've seen.
Yeah, I don't mean to judge people on their looks, but yeah, I think it certainly does fit their character. Thanks for your call, Mustafa. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We're kind of having a fantasy call-in about, what you'd like to see happen bad to, someone in power. Melissa in Savannah, Georgia, what's up?
Hey there, I'm really glad you guys are on the air. You can imagine what it's like down here in the deep south right now.
We get calls from people that are like bunkered in saying, I can't talk to anybody.
Oh, God. I mean, I had a sign in my yard that said war is not the answer.
Uh-huh.
And none of my neighbors would speak to me for a month.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, it's bad. My husband and I sometimes think we're the only people down here that are liberals.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Do those people still feel that way, Melissa?
You know what? I see a little bit of a crack in the veneer. I have a button that says, basically, that's an anti-Bush button that I wear around.
Yeah.
And it's the no-carb diet, no Cheney, no, all the way down, no Ashcroft, no Bush. And I was at the Home Depot the other day, and there was a woman, a cashier, and her husband's in the military.
Right.
And she said, we voted for Bush. We're voting for Kerry this time.
Oh, that's a good sign. Sometimes amazing things happen in the Home Depot.
Yep.
I know it. And even in the military.
Yep, that's great. So what were you going to say about the intern?
Well, what I was going to say is I worked in Washington, D.C. for 12 years before I moved to the Deep South. You can imagine the shock.
Oh, I bet.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What?
And what happened in D.C.?
What I was going to say is, it's just a little viper's nest, but the Republicans are into the much weirder, kinkier stuff because they're so repressed, especially the real religious ones.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, harnesses, water,
like a dog,
water sports, the whole 10 yards.
And did you know, I thought you might want to know this, you know that there's a treatment center for Baptist preachers because of their addiction to pornography?
Oh, my God.
Where?
I think it's in Pennsylvania, the treatment center, but specifically for Baptist preachers because they're so repressed.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks for your call, Melissa.
Okay,
good stuff.
Hope it's not near the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
That's great. So that means that the Baptist ministry probably has a special place. I think they all do. All churches or organizational churches, I think, have a place where they sort of, you know, send the clergy.
There you go, bashing religion again,
as opposed to the Catholic Church, which will just, you know, relocate them somewhere else in another parish. So we're coming back with Recovery Corner and all kinds of fun things and tragedy as well here on Air America Radio.
Planet Check. About oil.
It's about greed.
From Missoula, Montana, that's folk musician Amy Martin.
It's probably been the song of mine that's gotten the most airplay, which is kind of funny.
And we the people, we've strung inside. Too bad about the country, but I like to drive it. But bare my head and close my eyes. Maybe the oil never will run out.
Martin feels the biggest environmental concern is use of energy.
We're in this really gluttonous time where we just sort of assume we can have as much energy for as many things as we want, and we act as if there's no limit.
Hello, wake up. Greetings, earthlings. It's about oil.
Find her music online at amy-martin.com. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
This year, you're going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. The Smoking Solution components have already helped thousands of ex-smokers kick the habit permanently. We guarantee you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 7 days or your money back. Unlike gums or patches, the Smoking Solution is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. We also include the Slimming Solution to fight weight gain, powerful antioxidants to help heal your lungs and body, and much, much more. Best of all, the Smoking Solution system works fast. In as little as 1 week, we can help you kick the habit once and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution system is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning, it's Monday. I'm Mark Maron, this is Morning's Edition, and I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. Happy birthday, Bob Dylan. Hope you're having a good morning as well. I'd like to say this right off the bat is I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I like to reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. Today, as always, I reach out to my sponsee, George W. George W., as a friend of Bill W., I know the rocky road to sobriety is filled with frustration, temptation, potholes, ruts, and loose topsoil that may or may not have been caused by recent rains. I know. It's hard to stay the course and steer the ship of state or bike with a beer in one hand. We know that, me and me. With the potential release of Fahrenheit 9/11, along with another slew of prison abuse pictures, the temptation to start drinking must be stronger than ever. This is the time to stay focused, balanced, and steady, or at least not fall off your bike like a complete doofus, all right? Will there be accidents along the way? Of course. But part of sobriety is picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and getting back on the horse or bike. Stay the course, George W. Get one of those tandem bikes with a basket full of Neosporin. Let the Secret Service guy steer. Remember, let the press drag you through the mud. Don't do it yourself. Keep the plug in the jug. Bend your knees before you bend your elbows. Think, think, think. One day at a time. If you have one step in yesterday, one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing all over today. Do the next right thing. Don't drink. That's Recovery Corner. That's it. The message got a little vague, but I think the idea was there. That's it. Here we go. You may have seen stories lately that President Clinton's been getting help from his wife Hillary in the fact-checking for his new book. Well, you know, we're going to be able to find out exactly how much help right now because we got William from Chappaqua on the line. How are you, President Clinton?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, we've been hearing that you went to Hillary for a lot of help in the fact-checking. Is that true?
That's exactly true. She's been doing, I was going to say all of it, but of course she's not really doing all the fact-checking.
I don't understand. What do you mean not all of it?
Let's just say there are some calls I really don't want the wife making.
Oh, wait. We got Bill from Harlem. You have Bill?
Hey, buddy. How's it going with the fact-checking, son? All right.
Do you know
when it comes to printing the facts or printing the legend, print the legend, son. Always the legend.
So I'm taking William that's the guy you have to do the other facts.
Well, there are certain matters that are a little too delicate to have my wife getting into. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I got a lot of good memories. A lot of good memories. You know, I had to call some people, too. I called up Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint and Snoop Dogg. Of course, you can't count on him to remember too much. He's a good man in a pitch.
He helped you out, huh?
Oh, he's a good man. Uh-huh. I just want to say happy birthday to Bob Dylan also. Yeah. I just love that song, Blowing in the Wind. Fantastic. It ain't me, babe. No, it ain't me, babe.
All right, well, you guys, it's always great to talk to you. Now, you know, good luck with the book tour. You're looking pretty spelt. You take up some weight?
Well, I stay busy, you know, Mark. I got an agenda.
Well, thanks for joining us. It's always good to talk to you, President.
All right, buddy.
All right. Still ahead on Morning's Edition, Moore's Big Score, the Morning Devotional, and the Presidential Palm Pilot. Don't go away. This is Air America Radio.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the sender thingy as described by Howie Long.
It's the cool gizmo that lets you watch a DVD on your bedroom TV while your kids watch it on the family room TV at the same time.
So at Radio Shack, what do you ask for?
That wireless sender thingy?
We'll show you our remote control AV center. Share DVD programs with a second TV up to 100 feet away. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
This makes being in two places at once a good thing.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. While President Bush prepares to give his first in a series of speeches tonight on the impending transition in Iraq, chaos still reigns in the Capitol with reports of several explosions this morning. One was near the coalition compound in central Baghdad. Four people are known dead. All four said to be foreigners. No word on the source of the blast that stemmed from a burning car near the scene. Since then, two more explosions have occurred in the Iraqi capital. No reports this hour on injuries or casualties in connection with the latest incidents. President Bush delivers a primetime speech tonight from Pennsylvania's Army War College, during which he is expected to offer his blueprint for a smooth transition in Iraq come the 30th of June. It will be the first in a series of speeches the president intends to give in a bid to drive home his policies for Iraqi sovereignty. Bush is expected to discuss military, political, and diplomatic steps he will take to empower a caretaker government. President Bush and members of his administration are not the only ones distancing themselves from the one-time head of the Iraqi Governing Council, Ahmad Jalali. Word has it now that some of his staunchest supporters at the highest levels of the administration have left him twisting in the wind. This after American intelligence officers discovered he was giving information to Iran. Jalali did the Sunday morning talk show circuit this past weekend, categorically denying the charge. Pentagon is distancing itself from a Washington Post report that the top U.S. general in Iraq was well aware and witnessed some of the abuse at the Abu Ghraib prison. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez is the top U.S. general in Iraq, and the Post says he, along with other military officers, were witnesses to the abuse in the prison. The Post quoted military lawyer Captain Robert Shook, who testified in an open hearing almost 2 months ago that Captain Donald Reese told him that Sanchez and other military officers were among those witnessing the abuse. The Pentagon yesterday flatly denied the report. Associated Press reports that over 5,500 Iraqis died violently in just Baghdad and three other provinces alone in the first 12 months of the U.S. occupation of Iraq. According to the latest figures, the death toll from both criminal and political violence ran dramatically higher than violent deaths before the war. One leading Democrat from the North and a Republican from the South have come together on a plan to boost health insurance for military reservists.
I believe it is long overdue to make sure that every Guard and Reserve member becomes a member of the military health care system, just like an active duty person and family. It will help recruiting. It will help readiness. It will help retention.
That was the voice of Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's joined forces with New York's Hillary Rodham Clinton in providing health care coverage for Army reservists. And the Americans continue to pull up at the tank in spite of the drastic rise in the price of gasoline. Average retail gasoline price hit $2.07 for a gallon in most parts of the country. The increases have been considerably higher in the east and west, like in San Diego, where it's $2.36.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
All right, who's got a wart? Kids? You? Treat it using the same method doctors use without going to the doctor. Introducing Wartner, the first over-the-counter way to freeze common warts. Wartner freezes warts in one 20-second treatment. Most warts will be gone in 2 weeks or less. Wartner can be found at CVS and other food, drug, and discount stores, and is FDA approved for everyone age 4 and up. Wartner, spelled Wart, N-E-R, the fastest, most effective way to get rid of warts.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
and listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. Today we'll tell you what the day holds for President Bush and for all you good liberals out there. Plus, we're going to talk to a guy who actually spent time behind enemy lines in Iraq, a reporter. He's coming up, and he's going to talk to us about all that. And it's Bob Dylan's birthday, and I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
Good morning.
And it's so weird because I had no idea it was Bob Dylan's birthday last night, or the night before last, when I was driving up to upstate New York in my rental car listening to the only CD I have at this point in my life, which is that new Bob Dylan bootleg of Live. I think it was like 69. I I feel bad. I don't know, but it's amazing.
Now, 69 or 64?
Well, 64, I know.
Was it acoustic?
It was all acoustic. So it must have been 64 or 65.
Yeah.
I wish I had more information, but I love Bob Dylan, and I'm not afraid to say that. You know what I can't stand is people that will say things like, you know, I hate Dylan. How can you dismiss? That's like saying, you know, I hate the history of music. It's like people would say, I hate the Beatles. How could you hate the Beatles?
Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35.
Right, and you're talking about guys that have all these different phases, all these different evolutionary cycles of their music and their personality, and just to dismiss somebody like that is ridiculous.
No, I hate NSYNC, I think, is fine.
Absolutely. Because
yeah, right.
They have not evolved at all, and they didn't. They were just a one-note thing.
They weren't built to evolve.
Dismiss them. But Dylan is a mountain, and he's still alive. The old Jew, I like to call him. So now we just got this from the Center for American Progress. We're counting down the 37 days to the turnover of Iraq, and they have published a things that need to be done still list, you know, including come up with a plan for Iraqi governance, to also name the names of those who will be taking charge, secure new UN Security Council resolution, develop agreement for U.S. military presence, disarm militias, arrest Muqtada al-Sadr and dismantle his organization, on and on and on. Never going to do it. The turnover, this turning over of powers is just, he's just going to say it's going to happen. Nothing's really going to happen. And the people that who believe that that's going to happen are dumb. Can I say that? But also, my guy in the Oval Office,
okay.
My guy in the Oval Office has gotten some of the points that he's going to cover in his speech tonight. I guess he probably took some of the suggestions from the Center for American Progress. And this is some of the stuff he'll be talking about. He said, these are the notes. Train Iraqi police forces, use Mayberry model. Cover all Bush's Satan graffiti with Michael Moore's Satan posters. Got to do that. Green light pilot for Survivor Baghdad. That, of course, is high on the list. Establish Iraqi chapter of the NRA, of course. Yeah. Reconstruct telecommunications system. Add Nashville Network and Animal Planet to the Iraqi cable system. Find evidence of WMDs. Enlist OJ's help in finding real WMDs. Stop prison torture. At least stop pictures of prison torture, which he's already sort of put into action with the Rumsfeld today, outlawing picture cameras. For the military.
Not picture cameras, the cell phones that take pictures.
Yeah, cell phones. Picture cameras. What does that mean? Cell phone, you know, them things that make pictures that are real from the outside world. You know what I'm talking about? Why'd I have to do the retarded voice in Southern? Why did I have to do
that? Yeah, really.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
Melissa from Savannah's going to get you.
Let me do it another way. You mean you them things that they're like a thing, you push a button and then it looks like a real thing? All right. Here's some. Have Halliburton build six flags over Fallujah because Iraqi people are starved for adrenaline thrills. Crack down on Iraqi steroid abuse. Amend Iraqi constitution to ban gay marriages. Those two guys will have to go somewhere else. Build Mall of America of Iraq. Includes giant Lego mosque.
Oh my.
That'll only help. All right. So that was some really great stuff there. I'm really glad I did that. So why don't you give us the reality of things, Mark Riley?
The reality.
Tell the child to go sit down at the child's table.
That's Ben. Right. While the adults, Sue and I, discuss the pressing issues of the day. Thank you very much. Four people dead in an explosion 50 yards from the Green Zone entrance in central Baghdad. And it looks as though now U.S. officials are saying they don't think this was a suicide bomber. They're still talking to eyewitnesses. But an hour after this particular car was destroyed by explosion, at least two other blasts were heard elsewhere in central Baghdad. We don't know yet exactly what was involved in all that. One of the more troubling aspects of this last week or so has been that attack on what the Iraqis say was a wedding. That was taking place in a remote western part of the country. The U.S. military has maintained from the start that they were firing on insurgents. This was not a wedding. These were people who were seeking to destroy the U.S. occupation, that they wanted to kill Americans, et cetera, et cetera. They were insurgents, long story short. Well, now there's a video, and that video shows Iraqi children. It shows what appears to be a celebration of some sort. It shows a gentleman playing a keyboard, and then they show him dead.
They show him dead on CNN here, yeah.
Yeah. It is a very, very troubling video. And it would seem to, and, I don't know for certain, maybe the video was from someplace else at some other time, but if that is in fact the celebration that was attacked, I cannot see how children did not die because there were children all through the video.
Well, there was a report, an eyewitness report by a woman who's interviewed in The Guardian, it ran on Friday's paper last week in Europe, saying that her two sons were killed. She had three children. She was carrying a baby, and there were two sons. One child was decapitated in one blast, and another child died, and she was left with one of them. And now there's, I haven't seen a follow-up with any kind of discrediting of her report. And the thing that outraged me more than anything on Friday were the dismissive comments made by General Mark Kimmitt and somebody else who was one of the commanders of forces. One of them saying, you know what, X number of men, able-bodied men of fighting age, so kind of use your common sense kind of thing. In other words, they have to be insurgents. And then somebody else saying, what was anybody doing having a wedding in the middle of a desert. Yeah. Well, you know what? People lead very different lives in Iraq than those of suburban Americans. Oh, and something else to complain, saying about the weapons, how that that the Iraqis had weapons. Well, that's a bit like going into a ranch somewhere in America and saying, hey, you're an insurgent, you've got weapons. There's a right to bear arms here. Rural Iraqis commonly carry weapons
and shoot them off at the end of celebrations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this is beyond being tragic, because Kimmitt spent the entire weekend denying
and now these pictures.
And now there's a video, and I don't know how he's going to explain this. I really don't. But
I know he's going to explain it. He's going to go, okay, it was a wedding, but it was an insurgent wedding.
Yeah.
But it's another example, like with the prison abuse, of photographs and images, video, still photographs, being so much more powerful, and the great swayers of public opinion, and words just don't match up. So they're coming hard and heavy with their rhetoric and their explanations, but at some point, it just doesn't fly with the American people. They have more sense and they have more faith in what they believe with their own eyes than the manipulation through words that the administration tries to come up with time and time again.
Well, let's try this one.
I hope you're right, man. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking yes, that sounds great, and I hope you're right. I hope that pictures will actually sway people to think differently about this administration.
I think they do. I think at some level, some pictures are iconic. I mean, I keep thinking back of the image of the guy with the hood over his head standing on the box with the electric cords, he was being threatened that he'd be electrocuted if he fell off, and he's blindfolded, so disoriented. That's an iconic image.
Yes.
That is something that if you think of one image, or maybe you think of the pyramid of people. I mean, I would say if you went around, and even if people have been somewhat tuned out or desensitized to the volume of photographs and video that have come out in the last couple of weeks, if you said, one image, people, I think, would come up with something. And I think that those do stay. I mean, tell me the rhetoric. I can't even quote Mark Kimmett's exact words, but I do see those pictures seared into my head.
Right, but there's a lot of people.
I think that will go away.
Well, yeah, it won't go away with the people who are like us, but a lot of people are out there saying, well, they deserved it. Who cares? They're Iraqis. Who cares? You know, and those are the people that I wish to God would just, you know, wake up and see that this thing is a complete injustice on so many levels and that it's a completely unsuccessful war and it's done nothing but create chaos where more terrorism is going to come out of.
Well, not only that, I mean, the American military is being shortchanged to the point that they're taking up collections here in the New York area.
Wow.
Of used old bulletproof vests, not to put on soldiers, but to put on the sides of the Humvees they're driving so that when these roadside bombs go off, because their armor is so thin,
right,
these vests will actually stop the shrapnel from hurting them.
That's
how desperate they are.
That is ridiculous. They sent troops over there, and now a situation with bombs, you know, explosions today in Iraq. We saw one of those burning vehicles on news footage earlier. Basically, the troops are not safe enough inside a Humvee.
They have collected 1,000 of these vests so far in the state of New Jersey alone.
They're gluing vests on the side of an armored vehicle?
On the inside side of an armored
vehicle. It's like ridiculous wallpaper.
Some guys actually had to buy their own blackjack.
It's
unbelievable.
Oh.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilots and much more on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron here, and it is now 19 past the hour. It's morning's edition on Air America Radio. I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Later in the hour, we've got We've got Patrick Graham coming up, a journalist who wrote a piece for Harper's Magazine. Spent time with the insurgents in Iraq. Very exciting. We can all learn a little something. Right now, my guy earlier, the guy who I got in the Oval Office who cleans up and buys toothpaste for the president, got me his agenda for today out of the Palm Pilot. Here we go. This is the President's Day, 8 a.m. Wake up, rub swollen chin, stupid bike. 10:05 a.m. Bravely fall off a skateboard near the Rose Garden. 10:10 a.m. Meet with women's NBA champions, Detroit Shock. Make inappropriate shirts and skins joke. When that fails, point to chin to get sympathy. Oh. 11:30 a.m. Dismiss Michael Moore's prize at Cannes. Remind everybody of first place cheerleader trophy at Andover. Note, have staffer buy trophy for photo op. 12:30 p.m., work on tonight's speech about handing over power in Iraq. Weed out any words with more than three syllables. 1:15 p.m., reapply Neosporin. Stupid bike. 3:15 p.m., tell the press that Jenna didn't attend her graduation from the University of Texas because she was serving in the Air National Guard at the time. 5 p.m., rehearse speech. Try to establish link between bicycles and weapons of mass destruction. 7 p.m., encourage Americans to forget about this whole Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal thing and just go out and go shopping. 7:30 to 8 p.m., have makeup specialists work on chin. If necessary, fly in Rick Baker. 8 p.m., make remarks on Iraq and the war on terror, U.S. Army College, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. When referring to the turnover of power in Iraq, avoid using word deadline. 9:30, lights out, have Laura kiss your boo-boo. Stupid bike. There you have it. That's the president's big agenda there.
How come Rick Baker's so famous? I guess he's a famous makeup artist.
I guess he is.
Yeah. Must be one of the biggest.
I'm glad we're so clear on that.
He's so huge. In fact, he's usually just known by one name, Rick.
Rick.
Well, I don't know. Would you know him if he, like, you know, you went and saw Harry Potter. Your husband's in the film business. Do you know makeup artists?
I do, but never heard of Rick Baker. I did go and see Harry Potter. I went to the world premiere of Harry Potter 3, Prisoner of Azkaban, yesterday at Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It's a big spot to watch a
it's
movie.
It's huge. 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
6,000 people. And it started about 45 minutes late because there's a big crush of all these celebrities and actors and everybody arriving outside.
Screaming children.
Screaming kids and other teenagers.
Yeah.
It was like, the Beatles again. Someone
uh-huh.
actually said, is this the Beatles back in New York?
Uh-huh.
But the movie looks amazing. It's very intense, very dark, great special effects. Hermione has all the best lines in the movie. She's really feisty.
Uh-huh.
I think it'll be a big hit.
All right, now. Here
yeah.
we go.
All right.
And you got to see it because?
My husband edited it.
There you go.
He was the big dude? Head guy?
Well, I guess the guy.
That's
the
great.
Editor,
That's
the
great.
Editor.
And how did he do? Did it flow well with the montages?
It was genius editing, honey. It was just genius. And he says, no one has a clue about editing unless it's really bad.
Uh-huh.
Either when it's seamless, nobody even notices. Like, oh, that was a bit of a jerky jump cut.
Or what? Or the ones?
Know when editing
yeah.
doesn't work out.
Or yeah, where there's a mic boom in the picture where they're like, you know, someone's holding a cigarette in one cut and they're not in the next cut.
that only happened in porn.
No, it happens in real movies. And there are some people that are obsessed with it. Like we'll find it in every movie. Like, did you see that? He wasn't holding that. Look, his hair's different. You know?
But it's a hard movie to edit, but it's a fantastic movie to look at because there's just constant movement. I mean, the director Alfonso Cuarón is amazingly talented.
Wow.
He's a Mexican guy. Did you see that film?
Sue's giving quite a plug for this.
No,
film.
It's a great film. Let me say. I did not see the first two. I watched one and half of them on a video.
Why? Because your husband didn't edit them?
No, because they were boring.
Did your husband edit the first two?
I like all the films. No, he did not. I don't always like. You could call him up. He'll tell you I'm the biggest critic of movies he's worked on. I go and see comedies and I go, you know what? I love one.
Are you saying you're hard on your husband?
Hmm?
Are you saying you're hard on your husband?
You know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
I'm
surprised. Really, unbelievable. I thought you were just.
Am I just so easy on you? You mean? I'm saving it all for him.
I
yeah,
watched the stuff
Mark.
With a notebook in it.
Yeah. No, great movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Shrek opened and made, I think, a trillion dollars.
$1 trillion.
Which I also want to see. You laughed at me last week for saying I want to see Shrek 2, but I love Shrek 1. I think it's very, very funny.
Grown-ups to see, you know, go to watch cartoon movies.
Even our kids. I'll take them. I can go on my own.
I don't care. I mean, I've read comics in my life, but comics for grown-ups. I won't go see cartoon movies or puppet movies.
If you can't take my kids to see your comics for grown-ups.
Yeah, sure you can. I did a show last night.
I doubt it.
Ralph Bakshi? Anybody remember
him? Yeah, oh, yeah. Wizards and Fritz the Cat. I that's true. I went and saw those. I saw Wizards when I was in high school, and I thought it was genius. Yeah. And I did do a lot of reading of comics, you know, at a certain point in my life. You know what I think I really have a problem with? Anything making $100 million other than me. When I see a movie like that, it's sort of like, why can't everyone just give me a dollar? Why can't everyone in the country give me $1?
I don't have any problem with that movie making a big load of money.
Send it to Morning Sedition. Air America, I'm pulling a soupy sale.
Then you get $300.
Just a dollar. Just give me $1 and so I can get something to eat.
So from Wednesday, no, you should start on a Wednesday, because when this movie opened, Wednesday through Sunday is when you have to get your million, your $100 million.
Oh, but that reminds me, hey, if you're interested in an Air America thong or hat or mug or spoon or
jockstrap,
jockey shorts or
boxer,
lunchbox,
briefs,
mug, travel mug.
You can go to airamericaradio.com and link right up to the site where you can have all that stuff.
But Mark does not get a kickback. This is not a way of Mark getting
a dollar. That's separate from the dollar that you're sending to Mark Maron.
Mark doesn't get any of that stuff, okay, guys?
It's so
just
wrong.
In case you're wondering.
Look, I don't need the money. I've got plenty. Like right now in my wallet, I got $3.
There you go.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. I want to know when the Mark Maron t-shirts are going to be on Air America. Radio.
I have to go home and make them, as Sue said. I got to get my guy to rig up some t-shirts.
I have fabric pens. I have these special fabric pens.
I'm going to have a silk screen.
You can sit down with my kids and do, you know, paint yourself on the
t-shirt. Maybe I'll have your kids design the t-shirts. It'll be great.
It'll be great.
Good job,
I'll be the first one that buys a Mark Maron Air America Radio t-shirt.
So what else? Michael Moore's movie won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, which is great. Which is very exciting, and some people criticized the jury, of which Quentin was part of, saying it was politicized, and Quentin said, no, it's not. This is a great movie. I'm paraphrasing. And then he said, go see Kill Bill twice. Send me a dollar.
Send me a dollar.
I got to rethink Kill Bill, too. Well, I mean, I have contempt for Quentin Tarantino because he's successful and smart and actually is able to pull it together to make something happen, you know, which is not something I do generally. I do a lot of talking about it. You know, I do a lot of like, dude, someday, man, I've got this idea for a screenplay I've been working on for like since I was 10, and it's almost done. It took me 30 years to get the outline done, but pretty soon it's going to be done, and I'm going to shoot it I'm going to do it with a still camera, which is really unique, and just put it together like animation's made. But some people actually go out and make the movies, and I tend to judge them on my own jealousy before I actually see the film properly.
Now, there were a lot of foreign judges, were there not? I mean, this was not just an American jury. This was kind of a mixed jury of people that actually awarded this.
Yes.
So you can't really say that it was, you know, anti-Bush people or European.
You're going to say everybody hates Bush.
Or French girly men or
this
whatever.
This is an award given. I mean, all power to Michael Moore for actually making this film. And it seemed that I heard over the weekend from people who've seen it, who just came back from Cannes, that it has a lot of war footage and kind of images in there that have not been available in the United States. And it looks at the connection between the House of Saud, the Saudi Arabian royal family, and George Bush, a lot of which was covered in that Craig Unger book.
Yeah, it's been talked about for a while.
A lot of the facts are not new.
No, I know, but they're new.
He pulls it all together in a very convincing way.
They are new to people that have not heard these facts before, and there are a lot of people out there that think that anything said negative about Bush or connecting him with anything is some sort of weird liberal, you know, conspiracy or spin. And this is based on truth that they flew these guys out, these Saudis, right after 9/11, without questioning them.
Well, Bush's spokesperson did comment about the movie, but her name is Susie DeFrancis, so we won't tell anybody what she said. Still to come, we talked to a reporter who spent time with the Iraqi Resistance Plus, the Morning Devotional, and the Liberal Agenda. We're right back here on Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush will go before nationwide television and radio this evening from the Army War College in Pennsylvania to tell Americans that Iraq is ready for a new caretaker government. But if several explosions in Baghdad this morning is any indication, more will have to be done to stabilize the country. Four foreigners lost their lives in that blast near the U.S. coalition headquarters in central Baghdad. No one has claimed responsibility for the blast and that of two others since the first one this morning. University of Utah has been ordered to lift its ban prohibiting its students and employees from carrying firearms on campus. The institution says it won't recognize the law. The new law is creating a stir between state residents who feel they have a God-given right to gun possession and those who don't. And the Republican Party is reportedly on the fast track to attract more blacks to the GOP, but a research authority says often the party's diversity drive attracts the kind of blacks who only appeal to white Republican voters. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of French's Mustard, and we wanted to come up with a great way to celebrate this exciting milestone. So we thought, what if we sell commemorative 100-pound bottles of French's?
Ah, my foot!
But we decided to give away $100,000 instead. Just buy any French's Mustard and you could win $100,000.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. $100,000 drawing will be held on 9/20/04. U.S. resident 18 or older. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or FrenchesFoods.com for details.
French's. It tastes that great.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
So what else is news?
She said, I think that after September 11, the American people are valuing life more, and we need policies to value the dignity and worth of every life.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
The fundamental issue between us and the terror network is that we value every life. So that's it. September 11th is an opportunity to stand up against choice.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Good morning, it's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We have a guest in studio. So, you like taking risks in life? Try hanging out with the Iraqi resistance. That's what our next guest did. Journalist Patrick Graham has spent the last year and a half inside Iraq. For the past few months, he made it into Fallujah, the dangerous and lawless area inside the Sunni Triangle. You can read all about his account of life inside the Iraqi resistance in the June issue of Harper's Magazine. His life was threatened numerous times, but he made it out alive, and he's joining us now in the studio. Good morning, Patrick. Good
morning, Mark.
So, what I'd like you to do first off for our listeners is sort of flesh out that the way the media portrays the resistance or the insurgents is that they're all, you know, ex-Saddam-loving Sunnis, and that's really not true, right?
Yeah, there's been an almost purposeful demonization of the Sunni Triangle that went back just after they discovered there were no weapons of mass destruction,
right.
So they had to figure out another culprit, and of course then they came to get rid of the Baathists.
Right.
And when the fighting started, they said, well, they're all Baathists.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're just Iraqis. Iraqis just don't like foreigners, and whether it's the Shia or the Sunnis. And I mean, the Kurds need Americans, but they don't like the Turks, for instance, who are other foreigners. You know. So it's a very Iraqi thing. And the people you see, the pictures you see in Abu Ghraib,
yeah,
are pretty much a direct result of that constant demonization. I mean, what do you do with people who are terrorists, Saddamists, whatever? Well,
right.
Some people interpret it that way.
Right.
So, you know, this has been a kind of constant process. In fact, the place is a much more complex world. I went there before, in fact, it was a resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I was there during the war when they were sitting around trying to figure out whether they'd fight for Saddam, and they actually decided. I was in a big room.
Yeah.
I didn't know what's going on because I don't speak Arabic, but I was told later we were trying to find out whether we'd fight Saddam. And they decided no.
Who were these guys you were sitting with, I mean, in general?
It was a small village.
Oh.
You know, they were having meetings all over the place.
Oh, I get it.
Saddam had lost control of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was near the end of the war. And these guys were getting together all the sheikhs and all the people in these small villages saying, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to set up a militia? And in the end, they said, nah, forget Saddam.
How does the tribal system work like that? I don't think a lot of people realize that each one of these communities has a sheikh and has a tribal order that's been in place for years, and many of them didn't like Saddam to begin with. Is that true?
Well, it's complicated. I mean, Saddam is a Sunni. He knew the psychology of the tribes.
Right.
I mean, all those areas are deeply tribal. I met a captain the other day. American Army captain been living out there, and we're talking about it, and he goes, yeah, that's country, and I'm from Texas. You know, like, it's, you know, it's like Cold Mountain, but with much bigger family ties. I mean, everyone has, like, 30, 40 people in their own family, and then it's really, tribal is, it's to some extent the wrong description. It's really about cousins, and that's how you trust people. It's all your cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings up a point about the wedding, which was a wedding that the controversy over the attack on the families with the wedding last week, because I read that was a wedding between cousins, and it's been kind of completely dismissed by U.S. military commanders as, you know, a safe house for insurgents, and the spin that the U.S. military is trying to put on it here in the United States is that this was a kind of sham wedding. What's your view of whether that really was a wedding, and how now you're back in the United States, having been in Baghdad, how that's playing out here?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened through the mist of media coverage, and the problem is foreign journalists can't go there because it's now too dangerous. So they're sending Iraqis, and they're trying to figure out what's happening. One thing is that the spokespeople for the U.S. Army have been consistently dishonest about the Sunni Triangle. I mean, I can go through the transcripts. I mean, they've just been lying about it. I mean, you know, a few weeks before Fallujah fell, General Mark Kimmett, the spokesman, was saying, well, of course, most of the people out there support the occupation. Stuff like that, not even a Shia occurred, which is fall off their chair listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly the credibility that the U.S. Army spokespeople have in a matter like that, it's really declining fast. If you read the British papers, and friends of mine are writing about it, it's pretty clear it was a wedding. Now, American papers have to take the spokespeople seriously, and they're arguing that it was resistance. Now, that is a very, very religious area, that Syrian border. They have the argument that it's a wedding is that the people on the other side are coming over from Syria. Now, those are the same tribes. So they're going to come over with their passports.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have guns.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have satellite communication? Sure, it's like $500 for a phone. You know, they're smugglers, so they're wealthy. Could they also be in the resistance? Probably. Everybody there is in the resistance.
Right.
There were five Marines killed in a nearby town in fighting that was virtually unreported, and dozens of civilians killed during the fighting at that time, like in April. So these people are not big fans of the Americans. So it could be both, but it sounds like it was a wedding.
We're talking to Patrick Graham, a journalist who spent time with the Iraqi insurgents, and he's got a piece in Harper's Magazine this month. So tell us about the insurgents that you were spending time with and where they were coming from and why they trust you and, you know.
Well, I met them before they were insurgents.
Right.
So there was a level of trust. They at least knew who I was. Now, some of them thought I was a spy. Because there were people out there in the former intelligence apparatus. I mean, a lot of those people in the army and the intelligence world of under Saddam. But this guy's hopeful that I'm a spy so that he can get a job. He keeps saying, like, get me a job with the Americans.
Yeah.
The insurgency or the resistance, whatever you want to call it. I call it resistance because that's the Arabic word, makawama, so it's just easier.
Okay.
It's many, many groups. The people that I was with were and I think this is the majority of it in the Sunni Triangle, tribal-based, religiously inspired anti-occupation. They just didn't like having foreign soldiers driving around. And they said, listen, if they go back to their bases, we're going to leave them alone. In fact, a lot of them said, we don't want them to leave because they're afraid of the Shia in the south. So then there's the car bombs, which is a real mystery. I've never heard an adequate explanation. But there was a car bomb near where I spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
And the people that I was with to give you an idea of how Iraqis think, were convinced that it was an American missile. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think it was, mm-hmm. but if there's a car bomb that goes off, a huge chunk of Iraqis think that it was the Americans doing it themselves. Because these people are saying, it couldn't be resistance. It was aimed at a police station. Those are our cousins.
Right.
Now, it obviously wasn't the Americans, but there are mysteries about what's going on. And the car bomb people seem to be one group or many groups. And then there's different cells. Some will be loyal to Saddam, although that's kind of meaningless now because he's, some prison. It's basically a kind of tribal anti-occupation movement. Now, it's not pretty. I mean, these people have been close to all kinds of, a lot of them trained by former army officers under Saddam. They were fighting, against Iran. I mean, it's a guerrilla war.
Right.
One question, Patrick Graham. You talk in your piece about one individual who worked with the occupiers and with the resistance. How widespread was it? I know certainly in other parts of the world, in Haiti, for example, you had people that worked both sides of the dispute there. Are there a lot of resistance people who also work with the occupiers, which I have to imagine is pretty dangerous?
Well, I mean, basically, the Fallujah Brigade that's running Fallujah is mostly resistance at the moment. I mean, they just went and said deinstitutionalize the resistance. So they're actually now hiring them into the kind of new army. So that's one side. The Sunnis are businessmen, and there's a flip side. On one hand, they're tribal. They've been fighting occupations for thousands of years, but also the Sunnis have been running Iraq long before Saddam. They've been doing well. They basically want business. They're contractors, transporters, and stuff like that. Their sympathies might be with the people firing at Americans, but their pocketbook is saying we've got to make cash. So they're happy to do both sides. In fact, I used to get offers, they say, listen, can you get us a contract with the Americans? We'll protect you. I'm like, of course you can.
Patrick Graham, you want to hang out? We're going to take some calls and ask you some more questions. Patrick Graham's a journalist. His piece can be seen in Harper's Magazine this month. Why don't you give us a call if you have any questions? It's a good opportunity to learn a little something about the Iraqi insurgency and what is going on over there. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, sedition@airamericaradio.com with questions for Patrick Graham, who spent time in Iraq. Come back.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. You want the best paper towel for your money. So Eyewitness News puts some popular brands to the test. Plus at 5, Sidewalk Treasures. Eyewitness News shows you the best ways to find free stuff.
It's all free. What do you want?
Plus at 6, co-workers dying of the same thing. Now an Eyewitness News investigation of an oil company gets action from the state. It all starts with Diana Williams, Jade Veteran Walk, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. Only one man could kick Trading Spaces host Paige Davis out of her own home. It's Nate.
Well, this is something that I didn't plan for.
The before, the after. Just listen to this.
Oh, my God! I cannot believe that you did this.
A special makeover of this.
This is fabulous.
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most?
Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Past the hour. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. Our guest in studio is Patrick Graham, a journalist who has a piece in this month's Harper's about spending time with the insurgents in Iraq. We're taking your calls for him at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. I've got an email here addressing that thing we were talking about earlier, Sue, about the Humvees.
Oh, having to line the inside of them with bulletproof vests?
Yeah, apparently, yes. Yeah, Sue just referred to the armored vehicles, and they said they're just regular Humvees. They're not military Humvees, so that's why the soldiers are hanging ballistic vests on the outside of the door, as many are being re-outfitted, but it'll take them time to do all that. So apparently they're not military-issue vehicles.
I just hate those vehicles anyway.
Well, wait a minute.
Full stop.
What's the logic of taking non-military vehicles into a military situation?
There's desperation, lack of planning, I'd say.
I don't
lack
know.
Of a
what
plan.
It was a liberation. You know, flowers don't go through.
All right, Aaron. Aaron, how are you? Are you there, Aaron?
I'm good, thanks. And
yeah,
you guys?
I'm pretty good, man.
Good. Well, I guess my question is regarding the wedding, whether it was actually a wedding or insurgents. It seems to me the bigger question is, does the United States have any more credibility in Iraq or in the world when we say, no, look, we were being attacked? Does that question even matter?
Thanks a lot for your call, Aaron.
Yeah, I think at this point there's not an Iraqi who doesn't think that that's a wedding. Whether or not it was, or it's pretty much irrelevant. I mean, there's been so much disinformation put out by the Coalition Provisional Authority and the Army on even small questions that Iraqis know the answer to. Because basically, the entire public relations and a lot of the governing of Iraq was done with the U.S. domestic audience in mind. So they were making decisions and making public policy based on how it played in the U.S. And Iraqis know that. So the credibility in Iraq, especially after the pictures, is pretty low.
Patrick Graham, we've got 37 days to June 30th when power is supposed to be handed over to an interim Iraqi government. You've been there. How optimistic are you that Bush can pull this off?
Well, I mean, I think it's just out of Bush's hands right now, and it's up to Brahimi. He's got a lot of experience. Iraqis know, even the Sunnis that are portrayed as whatever, Baathists, they know that this is their future. There are a bunch of really nasty people in Iraq that could just screw things up on purpose. But the Shia know this is their one chance. The Kurds know this is one chance. The only problem with Iraq is that there's no underlying unity. And if the various factions, and I don't really mean the people, because there's not necessarily that much dissension under the people, but their leadership decides to grab power the way they did under the governing council, grab ministries and use them for basically as fiefdoms, make a lot of money, get power, military power, that kind of thing, then it's going to be a huge problem. But if they can somehow realize this is their time, then it might work out. The details of that, I don't know. And obviously Brahimi doesn't know, so it's still a work in progress.
Patrick, you've been back in the United States for a short while after being in Baghdad reporting and covering the life of the insurgents. What kind of standard do you think of information that the American public is getting through its media compared with other countries, say Europe?
Well, I mean, the information is entirely filtered through your growing domestic and divided political debate. And what worries me, actually, is that Americans can get phenomenally self-centered. So now you're, you know, it's sort of Iraq as metaphor. Are we good people or are we bad people? It would be better if they were paying less attention to how Americans feel about those pictures than, you know, what it means in Iraq. Or even those pictures, they're really bad. And Iraqis aren't as surprised as Americans because they've been living under occupation. And they kind of half expected this. So, I mean, they lived under Saddam. You know, that's sort of what governments do. If the American debate is getting too self-centered, I mean, this weekend's New York Times Magazine, there was a really good piece by Susan Sontag, but the cover said, no, the photographs are us. Well, they're not. They're Iraqis.
Right. Good point. Thanks for joining us, Patrick Graham. Very informative and very interesting stuff. You can read Patrick's piece in Harper's this month.
Thanks.
Come back again soon. We'll be back after this with the liberal agenda and the close of our wonderful morning here on Air America.
Political opponents call the late Senator Paul Wellstone and his progressive ideals embarrassingly liberal. According to Wellstone, the future will not belong to those who are cynical. The future will belong to those who have passion and are willing to work hard to make our country better. Embarrassing? No way. Inspiring? Yes. Learn how to live out Wellstone's call to action in his book, The Conscience of a Liberal, Reclaiming the Compassionate Agenda. And don't miss the remarkable collection of Wellstone photographs featured in Terry Guidison's book, 12 Years and 13 Days, Remembering Paul and Sheila Wellstone. You can find these University of Minnesota Press publications at better bookstores everywhere, or visit our website at www.upress.umn.edu. Fight for the future of America.
If you eBay or are thinking about using eBay or just want to make lots of cash buying and selling on eBay, then grab a pen to write down an important toll-free number. Last year, entrepreneur Adam Ginsberg did over $15 million in business on eBay. He wants to send you a free tape that explains how to make fast cash on eBay. He has engineered cash-generating techniques to sell products you would never think of and massively increase the value of items without spending much money. Using his program, you could develop a steady income by building your own eBay business. If you choose, you'll never have to work in an office again. Instead, you could sit back and turn eBay into your own private cash machine. You owe it to yourself to evaluate Adam's money-making opportunity absolutely free. Call right now, 800-900-3118 to get his free tape. That's 800-900-3118. Don't miss this limited-time offer to secure your financial freedom. Call 800-900-3118.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Good morning. We're coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition. I am Mark Maron. I am here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio.
I love what you say. That. I always imagine you with your arms spread out like an airplane.
Yeah. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. It's been quite a morning, and I forgot to do the devotional. I didn't forget it. I displaced it in order to be polite to our guests. So here's our devotional for today. Dear Lord, today I want to offer a prayer to Allah to thank the Saudi royal family for increasing oil output just before the big holiday season. Now, I'm not a Muslim, actually. I'm a Jew like Bob Dylan. Happy 63rd, Bob. So I'm probably not facing the right direction for this prayer. I'm not kneeling either. In fact, I'm toasting a bagel right now, so I don't know how seriously you're going to take this. But I really mean it about the oil thing, Lord. Bush needs the help right now, and certainly he's given the Saudis enough friendship over the years. Though given how things are going, Bush may not win in November, even if he gives away free gas and cleans your windshield himself. Still, it's a nice feeling to know that when we have our next terrorist attack and need to fly members of the Saudi royal family out of the country, it will only cost half as much to gas up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, it's like I can't imagine what it's like to be a war correspondent. Wouldn't it be amazing and frightening? I mean, this guy, we didn't really get to talk to him about the sort of nuts and bolts of how terrifying it must be. But, man, like,
plus, the U.S. government must have his picture on every computer and every law enforcement agency in this country at this point. I mean, he was with the resistance. A lot of times, I mean, you could imagine what would happen if Mark Kimmett had to explain him.
Right.
You know, it would be like, well, he's part of the resistance. He's there. I don't care if he speaks English or not. I don't care if he's an American or not. He's part of the resistance. He's with him, isn't he?
Well, one of his roommates, he said, was Haith, who, you know, Haith Abdullah Had. We tried to get him on the show last week, and his phone connection was bad. He was apparently picked up by the U.S. military and hooded. He was detained, a journalist, he's Iraqi, was detained by the U.S. military and hooded, finally was released. He was also arrested and questioned by the guys supportive of Muqtada al-Sadr. So, you know, even if you're Iraqi, but you know, if you're an American and you look Caucasian, you are really, you know, it's big trouble trying to get around. You can't get out on the street, even with minders, translators, you're very vulnerable. Now even Iraqi journalists are prone to detention by both sides.
I guess that means he must be doing something right. He gets detained by both sides.
Yeah, that's a balance.
By the balance.
There you have it.
Yeah, it's got to be terrifying. His piece, like, is really informative because there's just so much, you know, we don't know because everything is simplified by certainly the American media and placed in a certain way. But he really deals with these people as people, and he really goes into stuff about because, you know, in my head, I'm always wondering, like, where are all these rocket, you know, these RPG, these rocket launchers and these grenade launchers and all the bombs coming from? And apparently there's just stockpiles of old Russian weapons all over Iraq that could last for up to, you know, 10 years, he said in his piece.
What was amazing to me is when he said that, you know, he'd been sitting around with a group of these people who actually weren't sort of dedicated insurgents. They kind of weren't quite sure where they were going to fight on the behalf of Saddam Hussein when the war started. And it seemed, you know, that was basically there was this window of opportunity for the U.S.-led coalition to win the hearts and minds of the Iraqis. And then they all decided to go off and become insurgents. So that was a tipping point where, you know, things clearly went horribly wrong because these guys could have gone the other way.
Yeah, I'm still worried about the Kurds. You know, we haven't heard much out of them lately. The Kurds want their own country. They don't want to be part of Iraq.
I've talked to my guy.
They're sitting tight, being smart, not getting involved with all of that Sunni Shia stuff, thinking that if we just don't mind, if we mind our business and that they are successful commercially, that's our best chance of getting our own country.
We'll get our peace. Yeah. Oh, there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. So write these down. Get your notebooks and get your pens. 1, go to your local Cineplex and demand that they replace Shrek 2 with Fahrenheit 9/11 and Yentl the director's cut. 2, eliminate border crossing guards and replace them with casino greeters. 3, petition to make Santa Fe or Sedona the capital of spiritual America. 4, do away with product testing on animals and give those jobs to inner city youth who need them. And 5, the one I don't understand, support underprivileged Native Americans by hitting on 16.
That.
Yeah, so looks like we got a little.
This is our last broadcast.
This is just to stop us from doing the McDonald's store. Yeah. McDonald's is doing DVDs in 150 stores.
You know what? That's amazing, isn't it? And what's going to be next? Victoria's Secret? How many other ways can we get people to come in and fill up on junk food?
Lord have mercy.
They will stop at nothing, these fast food guys.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, he blew up the White House on Independence Day. Now he's going after the whole world in Day After Tomorrow. But is he also going after Bush? We'll talk to writer-director Roland Emmerich. on tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
Everybody knows that safety belts save lives. We've been hearing that for years. This is Dr. Drew from Loveline. I am also telling you that wearing a safety belt can save you money and hassle. You should know that the police are cracking down from coast to coast. There's a nationwide effort called Click It or Ticket. And the rules are simple. Click it or ticket. Consider this a warning from your friend, Dr. Drew, because the police are not giving warnings. So remember, click it or ticket.
Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.